What game spans 6 platforms, 4 consoles, 3 generations, and is now 17 years old? Treasure's Gift that keeps on giving is Ikaruga, slated for release on the Nintendo Switch later this month. Stay tuned for the rest of the week's gaming news, starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back to another week at the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight, May the 6th of 2018, with episode number 729 of our show. My name is Rob Roberts. You might know me on Twitter at Sky, S-K-I-E. But joining me by my side, as she always is, say hello to Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers.
Miss Vanjie.
You must be getting prepared for Drag Con.
I am. I'm hunting her down.
Yeah. Well, you know what's funny? The things we do to do Orange Lounge Radio live with you all. Miss Vanjie is here in town tonight with Monet Exchange.
I know.
And we're here. We're stuck doing this gig.
I wanted to see Miss Vanjie, but no.
You guys are worth it. We love you guys. So, yeah. And plus, I don't know. Like, not that I get claustrophobic, but sometimes those shows can be, like, especially when it's a really popular queen like those two are.
Yeah, I always pay for the balcony.
Yeah. Well, and, oh, yeah, that is true. But just, like, too many people, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, anyway, say hello. We are happy to share our space here with Techmaster Loki, as we do every week. Hello, Loki.
Hello. And speaking of popular queens, we can't watch American Idol anymore, unfortunately.
Oh, I know, right? Canceled. American Idol is canceled.
It's basically, yeah. It's dead. It's dead to me now.
That was some bullshit last week, wasn't it? Which, you know, well, it's not really a spoiler alert at this point, right? So Ada Vox, who was clearly the winner of that competition, no longer there because America, the wrong people are watching that show.
Who cares? No one listens to American Idol artists anyways.
It's true. It's good. Can you tell me who won The Voice? Or who won any of, like, the last five seasons?
I couldn't tell you who's even on The Voice as host. Like, I don't even know. Like, it's...
I know. Those singing shows, there's just too many of them. It was different when it was only American Idol, right? It was different when that was it, and there was nothing like it. And it's like, oh, my God, Paula Abdul. I haven't seen her in forever, right? Like, it was different then, but now it's like, okay.
But it's even now, it's like, it's not even necessarily the person that wins American Idol. It's like, if you're, like, in that top 12, you pretty much have potential to just start your own thing anyways. And a lot of these, you know, with, like, Kelly Pickler and shit, everybody has a fucking album now.
And what's funny is that actually ties into Drag Race, and a lot of what they say about RuPaul's Drag Race too is it's like it's not about what you do during the competition, it's about what you do after the competition. You know, once you are on that show, like look at somebody like Miss Vanjie, which I wouldn't expect that everybody out there knows, but if you don't know Miss Vanjie, she was the first contestant eliminated this season, but she had such a memorable exit that, like, there's memes about her all over the internet now. And, like, people who have no fucking clue what Drag Race is are doing these Miss Vanjie type of memes. So, like, you know, for her, she's already won.
And you know much. They'll just have her back, you know, in a future, like, season or something. Exactly. Like, oh, yeah, we helped her launch her career.
I want them to do RuPaul's Drag Race Losers.
Yeah, well,
and do everyone who had been in the first eliminated queen.
She'll be on season 11 because RuPaul was spotted like going to some opening or some gala thing, and RuPaul had a necklace on that said Vanjie in gold. So it's like, you know, like you know that the world ain't seen the last of those.
Do they ever
cookies.
Do like an All Stars type thing in Drag Race where they bring back? Okay, so,
they just finished the third season.
They do, but the third season was rough. Too many twists. They tried to do too many twists to make it different, and it really suffered as a result. So, anyway,
I'm sorry, Shangela.
If you want to hear more about Drag Race, I urge you to look up Reading is Fundamental on iTunes. But for now, we are here to talk about video games, and let's get into tonight's kickoff topic. We'll get into our news and all that in our gaming weeks later on. I should also introduce the chat room. That's important. We do tape live, of course, every Sunday night, 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. But Bobby enjoying the last week of his 2-week vacation right now, and he'll be back next week. But we are live with our chat, and if you are listening live, you can go to our chat over at live.vognetwork.com, where everybody's talking about American Idol right now.
I should also mention that Becky told me Julian named his first horse in Breath of the Wild Vanjie.
So it is gaming related.
It is.
And I had my Minecraft. Not only did I have my Minecraft world named Vanjie, but I had my Minecraft world recently named Proportionizing.
Proportionizing!
Which, by the way, spoiler alert, Proportionizing was a really good seed, actually. So,
speaking of, like, horses,
okay,
I am very disappointed.
I guess I don't get to read chat. That's okay, Logan.
That's fine. You know,
they can wait. They can wait. They can wait.
I am so surprised that we haven't gotten an epic horse game yet on consoles. I mean, you
like
know,
a Derby's Owners Club.
Yeah, Derby Owners Club. Like, why don't we have a Derby Owners Club on consoles?
That's a great question.
Final Furlong is the horse humping game.
That is the yeah. And if you don't like you'd have to like Google it, look up a picture of Final Furlong. But like the machine was like you could actually like ride the horse. But like there's a certain way you could be riding that thing where it looks like you're fucking it. Like, that game was kind of questionable.
It's not just fucking, it's skull fucking. So.
Anyway, now can I do some chat comments over at live.vognetwork.com. Kaijudo is a Idol fan saying, American Idol is the shit. I don't get the haters. It's always good if you like listening to great voices. If you watch it just for lame-ass judge lines and all the drama stuff, then you'll burn out on it fast.
It was relevant once.
It's I think the thing is, you know, I will agree with Kaijudo to a point. The season when that show was over was when it was about Mariah Carey and Nicki Minaj fighting. And it became more about that than it did about the singers. And that was the season it was over. I don't know. Some would argue it was before or after that. But I would say, you know, to a point, Kaijudo, I do agree with you. SSG100 Matt in chat says, I stopped paying attention to American Idol after season 3, which was like forever ago at this point. Anyway, back to games. SSG100 Matt also says, Derby Owners Club was serious business back in the day. Well, that was always like a fun thing to do between games of DDR and other stuff that we were playing.
It was hilarious. It was a great game because I didn't understand what the hell was going on. I just like...
You just want to hit that whip.
You want to get the card, your card that printed out with your horse's name on it, and you just want to play the game because it's stupid. You know,
How do you, for listeners who may have never heard of Derby Owners Club, how do we explain it? Because, I mean, it's been like 10 years.
Okay, so imagine.
Do they still have it at Dave & Buster's places?
I don't know, but imagine you go to an arcade and you see this, like, cabinet that is, like, a room. It's a giant room with, like, several consoles, and you're basically watching, like, horse racing. But you create a horse, and they have, like, this whole gameplay that you play on your screen, and then you, I guess, raise the horse and stuff, and then you race it, and you improve its stats based on that. And then once you get your stats high enough, you breed your horse with other horses to make even better horses. But you get cards that print out, and you can name
like
them.
Like Initial D.
Yes, like Initial D cards.
Exact same system, yes.
And it was fantastic, and we really need that again because it's just stupid.
I remember that Dark Sakura had a book. She would bring it to... Here's my book of horses. Which horses am I going to race today?
I still have the book. It's somewhere in my house. I found it not too long ago because remember my good one for the long time was Magical Sound.
Oh.
And you had Politary.
I thought that was your horse was Politary.
Maybe.
I think it was.
But we had to spell it a special way. Like P-A-L-A-T-E-R-I. Yeah, Politary.
There was like
a character limit.
I don't know. No, like a bad word in it somehow. You know how game filters can be weird. Anyway, SG100 Matt actually linked to the Wikipedia article where you could read more about that. I suppose that's a place to start. And SG100 Matt continues, Derby Owners Club is 10 years old. It could be Classic Game of the Week at some point.
If I felt like it.
Dropping a little hint there to Dark Sakura.
So maybe
that means that in 10 years, another 10 years, I'll finally remember to do it.
That's a good one to do for like an anniversary show.
But can you imagine a Derby Owners Club with today's technology? It would look fucking amazing.
Yeah, I'd be all about Derby Owners Club on Switch. It's Sega's game, right? Isn't it Sega's game?
Was it Sega or Konami?
No, it wasn't Konami. I'm almost positive.
I think it's Sega.
Yeah.
Probably a Sega thing.
It was.
Sega did like to take a lot of like risks in the arcade market.
They do. They had a lot of like the like over the top shit. Oh yeah. It was an in-house Sega thing. It was Sega's AM3 department that did that game. So there you go. All right. Let's get into what we were going to talk about at the top of the show tonight, although I'm all for a Derby Owners Club tangent. Let's talk about classic video games coming back all over again in style. And I bring this up because I think it's kind of neat. And I also know we have some collectors in the house. You know, I don't know about you guys in our chat, but I know Dark Sakura. We always talk about the Vault collection. She's got quite the collection. I'll never forget the game that came with the dish. And I was like, why? Why not, right? You still have the dish game?
That was the Cardcaptor Sakura game for Dreamcast.
That's right. I can never remember what it was, but yes. And then, of course, Loki is an owner of an arcade machine. So that's a bit of a
dose
arcade
machines, actually.
Really? What? What happened? You got another one.
Well, no, I have an arcade machine. Remember, I had an arcade cabinet at one time. I have the candy cab.
Oh, okay. Okay. You have like a... Okay. Yeah. Sorry. But that's like basically a main thing at this point, right?
Yeah, it doesn't really work right now. My JPEG died, so I have to get a new one of those.
Okay. Well, anyhow, Capcom is the subject of this story, is going to be re-releasing cartridge versions of Mega Man 2 and Mega Man X. So these two classic Mega Man games are going to get cartridge re-releases. They're going to be limited runs. They're going to cost you $100 a piece, which, I mean, was more than they cost back in the day. But, I mean, I don't know if it's inflation, if it's because, I mean, if you look at this Mega Man X cartridge, it's pretty sweet. It's in, like, the blue casing, and I know the Mega Man 2 has something similar. It's a pretty rad-looking little thing. It doesn't look like it did back in the day. Like, I love that see-through cartridge.
I'd be curious
really
if
cool.
the ROM is also modified, too. They have, like, that 30th anniversary Mega Man type thing in it.
Don't know. I don't know if they've said that. But anyway, of course, this makes people wonder, like, would you be able to even play these in cartridge form? Like, how many people still have a working Nintendo?
Probably a lot, being with all the retro
consoles.
Yeah, retro consoles things.
I guess so. Those are kind of those machines are basically, they dump the ROM and they emulate it right on the spot. That's basically what those machines do. But I feel you. You could use those to play games. Darksoccer is like me. I have, but you're special in that regard because you
Am
guys,
I?
Yeah, you guys collect stuff. You have like four Nintendos, right, or something like that.
Something like that. Yeah. A couple of them in the box.
Yeah. So anyhow, I Am 8-Bit, I believe, is the production house that is helping out with this effort. And I Am 8-Bit is going to try to sweeten the pot since it is a high value there. They're going to package the game with instruction books. How about that? The return of an instruction booklet. Isn't that
better
nice?
For that kind of price?
embossed boxing as well. And 1,000 random buyers get the glow-in-the-dark versions of the cartridge. That's pretty rad. So... I see. Oh, that blue cartridge is the random one. So most people are going to get the regular gray one, whereas the NES one is that kind of
I don't
of
even think that's gray.
Blue.
It's like more of like a white. Well, it looks lighter than the normal cartridge.
And you know what?
Something I wouldn't wear to a wedding. Or something I would wear to a wedding because I can't
You
wear
could probably still, though, buy an original for less than that.
That's true.
And then you'd have an original.
Well, that's why it's a collector's item. I mean, it's...
It's for people with too much money who don't want to go hunting.
So 8,500 copies are going to be available in total, and that includes the 1,000 blue ones. They're supposed to start shipping in September of this year. So you guys are kind of already getting into it a little bit, is that, well, wait a minute, what's the point of these if I can walk into a used game store and possibly find one of these on cartridge? Although I would think these games in particular are probably a little harder to find because they are so popular. But
it's a collector's item is what it is.
You think it's worth it?
It's not unreasonable considering some of the other like collector's things I've seen. You mean, look at all these collector's editions that they have for modern games. They have like a stupid statue with it and stuff, and those don't come with instruction booklets for the most part. I mean, it's ridiculous. I wouldn't buy it, you know, because I'm not collecting Nintendo or Super Nintendo games, but if I was a collector, yeah, I might be interested in it. Mm-hmm. It's a neat idea. Props to them for trying something different.
Right.
And hey, if it works out, then you can put out more stuff.
Let me look at our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Message 2100 Matt says, $100. I mean, if I was a serious Mega Man fan and collector, I would dig in. But I have the games on so many platforms now, Legacy Collections, SNES Mini, etc. So maybe the fact that this game has kind of been, it's been re-released to death, maybe this is not the type of thing that a collector would be getting.
It would have been
point.
Cool if it was a new Mega Man game, like a new Mega Man X type game, or you know, that would have been like a Mega Man 12 or something like that, and then release an NES version as well as it like on like modern platforms. That would have been pretty awesome.
Right.
That's a little asking for much, but you know, I don't know. That would have been cool. I guess I've seen things that have been even more ridiculous for way more money, so I don't think it's unreasonable.
Let's see. Brad from Pod Culture says, saw SNES Mini at Target today, didn't have the $80 to spare. That's true. We got to remember these collector's items and the money that goes with it. That's a luxury to many people. Dungeon Buster says, I wish Breath of the Wild or Bayonetta 2 came with manuals and stickers too. Those empty Switch cases need some filler. Well, that's probably a whole nother topic for another episode, but yeah, I mean, it's, you know, obviously the way games are distributed and stuff have really changed.
I mean, like even like a lot of the Switch cases, like I have my Switch case and I just take the cartridge out and pop it in the case that comes with it, the cartridge holder in the case, and you know, It would be nice to have those extra instructions, because I think I was looking at, I was trying to find the instructions for something. Oh, yeah, it was, I think, Mario Odyssey or something like that. Oh, I was trying to find out there were some like motion controls he had to do. I'm like, well, I hate doing these motion controls. There's got to be a way that I can do these moves without motion controls. And unfortunately, there was not. Mm. So,
Let's see. Dark Tetsuya brings up something that happened in the past, saying, I know they did something similar before with the limited re-release of Street Fighter 2 on SNES. Yeah, so this is maybe something that IM8-Bit is exploring doing more often. Maybe this is something that's being successful enough that it's warranting to do more releases like this. I don't know. What if they did something that's like really close to your heart? Like Darkstalker, how would you feel if these IM8-Bit wanted to do like a Guardian Legend re-release that came with a dish?
I have an original.
Okay. So no need for any of these like remakes.
No, not really. Besides that, no one would bring it out with a dish.
What's something that you think is, or if there is, do you think there's something that might be really hard to find retro that maybe this would be like an answer to? Do you think there's anything out there where maybe it's not so easy to find a retro copy of that?
Radiant Silver Gun?
So something that's I guess like Suikoden comes to mind too. Like even though they've kind of, you can get that in like the PlayStation 3 backwards.
I'm still trying to find a relatively, I'd say $50 range copy of Salamander Deluxe Pack for Sega Saturn.
Mm.
So, or Robot Mondieu, which I still really want that game.
Ninja Gaiden Trilogy on Super Nintendo. You guys still have that, right?
In the box.
Yeah.
With and, manual.
Yeah, but that would be one where it's like, those are hard. You can't just walk into a used game store.
Someone wants to give me
it.
$450 for it. It can be yours.
Because that's what it's worth, right?
Yeah.
Oof. Crazy. Let's see. Dark Tetsuya in chat says, there's also that U.S. release of Holy Diver. I think Famicom carts of that are still pretty expensive. I'm sure, we'll see maybe more and more homebrew stuff that shows up with these types of things, which it seems like, as some of the, patents and copyrights of this cartridge technology and just the fact that the technology is more and more easily, obtainable by regular people like you and me, I think we might see more, homebrew that shows up in these types of cartridges. Anyway. All right. Well, I just wanted to see what you guys thought of this and if it was something that you think would be a valuable addition to your collection. But it sounds like maybe the original, the OG, is still the best to get at the end of the day. Anyway, if you guys have additional thoughts on that, you can always email us, participate@orangeloungeradio.com. In the meantime, I think we're going to get into how was your gaming week. And we're going to start with Dark Sakura. How was your gaming week?
I played stuff. I actually did things. What I did is I played the Kirby game finally because JD loaned it to me, and I was really actually pleased to finally give a chance to play it. I got through the whole first stage, the first whatever world it is, and had a really good time. It's super fun. It's not like terribly difficult, but I wasn't really expecting it to be. I also picked up two games. I finally actually put in to buy a reproduction game for Dan, because we've had zero luck finding it. So I picked up Ninja 5-0 for Dan, or as it was, Ninja Cop. He hasn't played it yet, but he's also been really busy. And then I picked up Shin Megami Tensei Devil Summoner for Sega Saturn, which I am going to need translations to be able to play it, but I wanted it. The price was right. And other than that, I've been playing... what's the game? Idle Pouring. I've been playing some Pokemon Go, and I've been playing... I've actually gotten back into Bejeweled, honestly enough, which it's like my mindless, I need to relax game. So that's what I'm playing, and I've given up on that bust a move, puzzle bobble, buy tickets to continue game, because it just turned into shit. It's got modes in there that I don't like, and... Oh, no, not that one. Peggle. It was Peggle. I want the old Peggle back, and it doesn't work on iOS 11, so I have a sad face over that. And then a lot of pinball, because we've got The Getaway, and we're playing it. And I will go ahead and say this. On Friday, May 18th, if you are in Northern California, come to the Golden State Pinball Expo in Lodi. It will be amazing. It will be fun, and you can play the same Getaway that I keep cussing at. And that's it.
Did they pay for that commercial?
No. I want people to yell at it, too, because it's a bitch.
All right. Loki, how was your evening week?
It was good. I played lots of Dance Dance Revolution still. And then I also played a bit more of Super Mario Odyssey. So I finally just made it to the Metro Kingdom. Because unlike my son, who's already beat the game, and now he told me today that he unlocked the dark side of the moon. You know, I've been just collecting, you know, as many moons in each of the levels as I can as I go through it. So it's been progressing a little bit slower, but, you know, more of a completionist in that sense, I guess. Then what else? I've been kind of trying to figure out what I want to get for the Switch, actually, because I was staring at the lineup of games that they had at GameStop today, and honestly, it's just, I don't know, it doesn't seem like there's much out there. I mean, I know there's a lot of indie games that are on the platform, but not a lot of them really kind of, you know, say, hey, buy me. I don't know. It's just kind of hard to decide what I want to get, but so I haven't gotten anything other than the three games that I have now. What else did I play? I played a little bit of PlayStation VR because we had some guests over, so we got that back out again. So more job simulator.
Is the PlayStation VR kind of like the, I don't know, like the Wii U was, where it's like it's your party system?
Well, yeah, it's more of like a lot of people that haven't played VR games. So like the two kids that were over, they hadn't played VR games, and they've been really wanting to play VR games.
This is interesting, though, because I think, sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but I think a lot of people have been apprehensive about VR because only, like, you know, only the person with the VR headset on can really experience the VR.
Not necessarily. TV, right? Yeah, you can have it on TV. And the one game we played, and I tried to see, like, my youngest son wants to play the VR games, but, like, since a lot of the games we have are the early VR games, they're not entirely the best when it comes to setting things up. Like for example, I tried the one kid that came over. He wanted to play Superhot because he's watched a lot of, you know, YouTube videos of people playing Superhot, and he wanted to try that out. And so I popped in Superhot, but I couldn't get it to go back to the first level. And I had no fucking clue on how to do anything. Like, I'm like, how do I get this back to the first level in this thing? I'm like, is that even possible? Because it didn't seem possible. There was no fucking menu anywhere.
That's weird.
So I was like, I don't know what the fuck to do with this. So we ended up moving on to something else. And then it came to Job Simulator, which Job Simulator, they have you kind of calibrate the system a little bit, but then you have to raise and lower the floor to make it so that the height feels right to you. The problem is they don't really have anything to kind of give you context to the height. There's a grid on the floor, but you can't tell how big that grid's supposed to be. Like, it'd be nice if they had, like, okay, this, here's a counter that's supposed to be waist high or something, so get this so that it looks like that the counter is waist high to you, and then be okay. Because the first time I did it, it was like way too low. Like, it looked like he was like a baby trying to reach stuff, and it was just way too low. So we had to recalibrate it again, and it was way too high, and it was a pain in the ass because, like, okay, I just want to play the game, and it can't. I have to keep calibrating this bullshit until I get it right. And trying to do that with a kid, you know, trying to get them to calibrate it, it's a fucking pain in the ass. So they need to do it much better in other games. But they had fun anyways once we finally got it calibrated after the third or fourth time. It just, you know, and I assume that's just because that's an earlier VR game. Now they probably have better solutions for that. It's just, I don't know. I just wish it would be patched better or something like that. But yeah, I mean, I think a lot, the other game we played too was like the PlayStation VR. It was not PlayStation, it was the, oh god, Playroom VR. So that free game that they have with all the robots and stuff, the Sony stuff. So what's kind of cool about that one is they have stuff that multiple people can play at the same time. So like they had one where my son was this giant monster thing, and he had to chase after, you know, other robots, which were us, and so we had controllers that were controlling those. But the problem is, it was giving him instructions on his headset, and I couldn't see what those instructions were. And because he's only four and can't read, it made it hard for him to play that. I'm like, well, I know from the trailer that it had the kid, you know, roaring, so why don't you try roaring? Because I think that's maybe what you're supposed to do. And it was hilarious because all it did is it voice changed his roar to sound like, you know, like a the chipmunks or something like that. It's roar, roar! It's like ridiculous. But I don't know what he was supposed to do because the instructions were only on his screen. And like I said, he couldn't read it. So fuck if I know. But he had fun anyways. So.
Okay, that's good. And kids then, like that dumb stuff too, where it's like voice changing, yeah, and all that little silly stuff. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, it's just hard to, they need to, UI is a big thing. UI and calibration is like a must. People developing these games need to understand that this has to be perfect in order to be able to play the game well. And I don't know. I just don't think that some of these games were there. But it's, you know, that's like launch games. So newer stuff, I'm sure, is better now.
Fair enough.
And then, of course, Pokemon Go. I've been playing a little bit of that. And I don't know. That's about it.
Sia Tiberi in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, the young Simba voice, the roar, just can't wait to be king.
It's pretty much like, it was funny because he was talking and so it's like it's super like high pitched. I'm like, I don't know what the point of that is, because, but it was silly. And then he wants me to get the Labo stuff, like we were looking at it again.
Oh boy.
And I'm like, there are so many things against why I should do this. One, they want the robot ones.
They're going to break it.
They want the robot one. The robot one's $80. And I'm like, I know if I buy this, you're going to play it a couple times and you're going to get bored with it immediately.
And then they're going to throw a tantrum and smash it.
They're not going to throw a tantrum and smash it, but it's going to be some crap that's
going to be... Sorry, your wife is going to throw a tantrum and smash it.
It's going to be some crap that's going to be sitting in a room somewhere because it's fucking huge. Yeah. So I'm like, I can't see this as being...
That's been holding me back, too. Now, I don't have the whole kid factor, but, you know, I like creation type of games. And, you know, in theory, I like Labo, except I still don't get, like, where's the game? But anyway, it's
a Nintendo move. It's the tech demo. Let's sell it as a game.
You know what? I like it in the way that I like Legos, and it's cool. I'm not going to, like, knock Labo. It's just it's not for me because I need to have less shit in this house, not more shit. And that's exactly the problem. Like, you know, even Alan was teasing me because we saw it in the store the other day. He's like, oh, you want to get the Nintendo Labo, get the piano. And I'm like, really? You really want me to bring that in the house? You really want another thing that we got to find a place for in the house? So...
I mean, it's neat, but it's just like I don't see myself playing that, or even my kids playing that long term. I'm like, there's no way. First off, they won't build it. It'll be me building that thing, and second, it'll be me building that thing and them going, "Is it done yet? I want to play. Why is it taking so long?" It's like, so it's gonna be that, and then they're gonna play it and they're gonna have fun with it and then they're gonna fight over who gets to play it, and then they're gonna play it for a while. And then they're going to be bored with it. And then it's going to be, you know, they'll do it for a few days. And they'll be like, hey, you want to play the robot game? Like, no, that's boring.
Yeah.
So it's just...
Move on to the hot
$80. No.
Looking at our chat over at live.vognetwork.com, Dr. Tsuya says, yeah, you wouldn't believe all the videos that have come out with people making stuff with some of the kits. I will say that much. Are they doing, like, hacks? Like IKEA hacks and stuff?
No, you can actually program your own things. So they have like a toolbox or lab mode or something like that where you can build your own things out of it. And, I mean, some of it's kind of cool, I guess. But I don't know what I don't know how much utility there is there other than playing with that for a little bit. I just don't think it's not like a Mario Maker or something like that where you're going to play the game and you're going to get a lot of use out of it and there's a lot more, you know, playability with it. I think a lot of these things, it is, well, like even with a variety pack, there's not a lot of playability there. I mean, you can do music stuff, I mean, sure, with the piano thing, but it's not something that's going to be, you're going to get burnt out on it really fast.
If I had a kid who was like musically inclined, I would totally snatch that Labo thing up. Like, actually, and I think I've said this about Labo before, like Labo would have been the thing I wanted when I was like 9 or 10. That would have been amazing because, you know, I was into music, I was into Legos, I'm into video games. It's a perfect marriage of all those things. So like Labo is for me just like a little late. But anyway, my gaming week, types of video games I've been playing this week. So, of course, I've been playing Pokemon Go because I love my Pokemon Go. And I finally got Mew in Pokemon Go. So I think that's kind of like a landmark thing is I finally got Mew. I kind of took my time with the quest. Like, I know a lot of people got that a long time ago, but I was like, you know, they're not going to push anything new. Like, it's not like they're going to come out with Celebi next week. You know, it's going to take some time before they put out, you know, more quests. So I'll just kind of take my time. And that way I don't kind of burn myself out trying to chase down, like, you know, 10 ghost types or 400 Magikarp candies or, you know, all the stuff. Although the events they've been doing a lot more like regular events in Pokemon Go that have, I think, really helped just kind of keep that game more interesting. So that's pretty cool. And I'm getting EX raid passes all of a sudden. Like, I have an EX raid pass for Monday and I have another one for the Monday after. So that was weird because I wasn't getting any before. And now I'm getting like EX raid passes. It just sucks that they're on Monday, but I'll make it work.
Are they like local or are they just like, oh,
they're by my work. So they're not like here, but they're local to my work. And it makes sense because I've been known to, at lunch, I'll go and walk around a park. And if there's like a Magikarp or, you know, a 1-star, 2-star on the gym, I'll do it. And that's how I've gotten these raid passes. So, you know, that's kind of a thing. So I'm still playing Pokemon Go. And let's see, what else have I been playing? Honestly, when it comes to like other games, just a little bit of Minecraft. Don't worry, Loki, I haven't been leaving you out. I'm waiting for Bobby to get back so we can get into that Realms thing. So I'm trying not to burn myself out of Minecraft. So for the most part, I've put that on hold. But I did play that a little bit. I've been playing, like, the game I just suddenly like got obsessed with all over again is Diablo 3. I've been playing a ton of Diablo 3. Like, and I know, like, this was a game I was probably talking about a year or two ago that I was playing a lot. And it's just kind of one of those things where something clicked on. And just something about that real, like, zen way you just kind of sit there and kill, 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 die. I'm playing a wizard, so it's all, like, pew, pew laser beams. So I just melt things with my little lasers, like, psh, you know, and everything, like, dies. And I get loot. And there's just something very satisfying about murdering hell demons and getting loot. So I've been playing a lot of it. Like, to put it in perspective, I think during last week, I've probably been playing a little bit up to last week's show, but I wasn't level 70 yet. I'm already Paragon 230 now. So I've been playing a little bit, and I'm already up through like being able to do like a greater Rift 45, which is like equivalent of a Torment 10, which is, you know, it's not the best, but it's, you know, I've been investing a little time in it. And then here's another random one. Maybe Jamie will appreciate this. I don't know. But on the Xbox One, you know, they give away the free games with gold. One of the things they're giving away this month is the Streets of Rage collection. On the 360.
You know who doesn't have an Xbox One?
You. But Streets of Rage.
I already have the cartridges.
Yeah, so I had a feeling that was going to be you. You as you're like, oh, I already got. But the
I actually have a bare knuckle.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, nice. The collection's cool. So I played a little bit of that. I played a little Streets of Rage 1. And I think I made it up through like the second boss. And then I was like, okay. I remember these old beat-em-up games were the shit in the 90s. Now they feel really repetitive. Kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Even the Ninja Turtles arcade game. Like, it's awesome for, like, a little bit. And then you're like, God, this is really repetitive.
Because you're missing the dark pizza smell-filled
maybe,
you know, rooms.
Maybe, yeah. And where you were kind of limited on one quarter and to 15 minutes for your pizza to be ready.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I remember, and I don't know, maybe if it's just different nowadays, but, like, I remember, like, pizza and, like, arcades and stuff like that were, like, very dark. Like, Chuck E. Cheese is, like, fucking bright now. I remember it being, like, some dark-ass, you know, arcade.
The Chuck E. Cheese's that I went to had, like, darker rooms, but most of the, like, big areas were kind of lit. But, I mean, when for me all up until like my late teens, we had an Aladdin's castle that had carpeted walls, mm-hmm. and it was dark and it had a smoking section, so there would be the occasional cigarette burn on the machine, and it was dark and wonderful. And then of course playing, you know, on roller skates at the roller rink too, because like I said, I still can't play Frogger without being on roller skates to this day.
Love it. Going to our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. ActDeft with a clarification there saying Streets of Rage is actually 360. Yeah, right. I should have been more clear with that. Even though I'm playing it on Xbox One, it is free through Games with Gold, and it is a 360, like the vintage collection.
I also don't
want to pay. Well, but if you're already paying for Games with Gold, which if you want to play Xbox Online, you get anyway, then you get Streets of Rage for that. So,
you know, for what I could pay for Games with Gold, that could be a few tacos.
It could be tacos.
And tacos.
It is taco money.
Tacos are amazing.
The tacos are great.
I love tacos.
Let's see. Also in chat, Sia Tabiri talking about Pokemon Go saying, for the longest time, I thought Mr. Mime was pronounced Mr. Mime because it seemed weird that they'd have that word be the English pronunciation. You know how I knew it was Mr. Mime? The cartoon. Because all those little fuckers say their names over and over. Mr. Mime! Mr. Mime!
Except, is that his name? No, that's not his name on the Japanese one.
Oh, did he get a different name in Japan?
Yeah.
He may have. Yeah.
It's Barriered.
Ah, there you go. That's why.
So, yeah. Almost, like, only a very small handful of them kept their Japanese name.
Like Pikachu.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, not on the show roll tonight, but did you hear that random story about how Pikachu supposedly had, like, another evolution in the game? It was like Gorochu or something like that. It was supposed to be like an evolved Raichu.
Gorochu, does it get like six arms?
No, but it gets buff, and it was supposed to, like, I think, don't quote me on this, guys, but I think it was something about it had horns and little vampire teeth, which sounds really adorable. But yeah, and it could have been, I guess they took it out for balance reasons, but I'm thinking like Raichu's really not that powerful of Pokemon.
No one uses Raichu, and it sucks that the Pikachus are so fucking hard to catch in the first place. It's like, you're fucking useless, stupid Pikachu. Like, I don't know, why are you so hard to catch?
Poor Pikachu. All right, anyway. But he's cute. Anyway, I guess that's really it for my gaming week. So let's get into some housekeeping. We will not be here towards the end of June, although we will be having our 16th anniversary show. We're really old, you guys. We're going to be having our 16th anniversary show on June 17th. The best reward for 16 years hard working, a week off. So we won't be here on June 24th. Speaking of weeks off, Dark Soccer is not going to be here next week.
Yeah.
But for a really good reason. You're ditching us for Drag Queens.
I'm going to DragCon.
Yeah. Not Dragon Con.
No, DragCon. Yeah. Where there will be cosplay.
Mm-hmm.
There will be queens.
My pal Arya Snark from Shaking and Crying is going to be there with you, so that'll be fun.
And if anyone wants to find me, I will be at the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence booth on Friday in the afternoon, like sometime after 3 something.
Cool.
And around the same time, actually 2, I think, on Saturday.
Awesome.
So I will be there working the table with the sisters. Great. I will be working it.
Well, speaking of Drag Gun Con, since we're leading from drag to Drag Gun Con, I can confirm that I will be at Drag Gun Con this Labor Day. So, I'm on the website and everything, which is really nice. So, very, very happy and excited to be working with the podcasting track again. I probably won't know my schedule till less than a month before, but as soon as I know what panels I'll be on, I'll be sure to let you guys all know. So, check that out in Atlanta this Labor Day. If you can't catch Jamie in L.A., this week.
I'll also be at Disneyland if anyone happens to be there.
Are you offering to ride Space Mountain with the listeners?
No.
Okay.
Only if they give me the front seat.
Okay.
I mean, if someone wants to buy me a churro, I won't say no.
Is that, they have some good churro. Don't they have all the special stuff at Disney now? Like
The only of the special...
The last time I was at Disneyland, they had the golden churros, which were like the gold sugar.
The only one that I really want to try is the carrot cake churro, which is, I think, in Frontierland. Except the cream cheese frosting that comes with it has fucking raisins in it. And raisins are disgusting and vile, and they're...
Didn't we have this discussion before?
They're vile. Little liars.
All right.
Ruiners of cookies.
Let's get into some ruiners of gaming news here at Orange Lounge Radio, together with you guys in our chat at live.vognetwork.com. What's going on in gaming news this week, Loki?
So the FTC basically are giving Nintendo, Microsoft, and Sony a 30-day window to change their warranty language to let consumers know that they can make repairs or use third-party replacement products without voiding those warranties. So... You know, you may remember, we talked about this a few weeks ago, how they said in a press release that, you know, there are certain languages in these warranty or end-user license agreements that were basically illegal, but no one was really kind of enforcing that. So now they're kind of coming down on them. So basically, this kind of includes a lot of things like, you know, you may see those stickers on your console where it says warranty void if removed or damaged. I know I had to deal with that with my 360s because they would have that, you know, oh, hey, you can't open your 360 up to do anything. But now they have to basically allow them that they can't have those because it won't void the warranty if there's something done to it. And also they have to have the right to repair, which allows people to take them to a third-party location to have them repaired. So. Also, they were saying that they've also sent letters out to HTC, Asus, and Hyundai as well. But, yeah. So, be interesting to see how that kind of... I'm sure it's just going to be some fixes to their, you know, warranty jargon or whatever, but...
Yeah, this is an interesting little change because of, like, everything that's kind of, you know, trickled down from that original little thing that they kind of yelled at Nintendo about, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's good that you have other people, you know, being able to fix those consoles and stuff. I mean, I used to just ignore it anyways. Or you'd even better is you'd find a way to take the warranty sticker off and then put it back on.
Put it back on.
Yeah, so...
like, just get it a little bit hot or, like, it's, like, steaming open the envelope.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. So, you know, it's... I don't know. I think if you're taking it someplace to get it repaired and it's like, well, fuck it. They're not going to, you know... Why are you taking it someplace to get it repaired, third party, if you know the original company's not going
to
fix it?
I was going to say, I seem to remember back in the day, like with the earlier Sony consoles and maybe even Nintendo stuff, you had your like official authorized like repair people.
Yeah, they don't do that anymore. It's more you have to like send that stuff in to them.
Oh well,
but
showing my age.
I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, good. I think anybody should be able to repair that stuff. You know, if they shouldn't, your warranty shouldn't be voided, especially for even like using third party devices, like third party products, because I mean, we had this whole, just recently, the whole thing with the third party docks.
Right, that's like what I was talking about with the third party docks, and like they were like fucking up consoles, one of them came down really hard on Nintendo about that whole thing.
Like, there's no reason that should be fucking up your console.
Yeah. You should get a little bit of choice into how to repair that stuff. Although I understand that they don't want people to go in there and just, you know, like...
Well, they don't want people modifying their device, and they also, like...
They don't want to have to pay for your fuck-up.
Yeah, basically.
I get that.
I get that, but, you know, come on.
Yeah. Well, moving on to a different story about Nintendo, let's talk about reading, since Dark Sakura is going to DragCon this week. You want to talk about reading? Let's talk about reading. No.
The library is open.
Let's actually talk about reading, because Nintendo is pairing up with publisher Random House for some books that are based on Nintendo characters. These are books that are going to be coming in January of 2019 per Nintendo. The books, the first two of which entered the marketplace in early January, are based on Nintendo characters and worlds, including Super Mario, The Legend of Zelda, Splatoon, and Animal Crossing. So earlier this year in January, Random House actually started two full-color official sticker books based on Super Mario and Legend of Zelda. So there's like the Super Mario official sticker book and Legend of Zelda official sticker book. These are both $12.99. This summer, Mario Time and Link's Book of Adventure are coming out. There's going to also be a Splatoon official sticker book. And yeah, this is all sorts of fun things coming out. So I'm not sure. It's weird that it's like, okay, they're talking about there's books that are already out, but then I guess there's also this team up that's happening in 2019. I don't know if that means we're going beyond stickers and getting into like actual, like, that's what it kind of reads like to me, that we're actually, pun intended, that we're actually getting into like books based on characters, you know, like maybe like a Dr. Seuss novel, but starring Mario type of thing.
Yeah.
Not a fan?
No. I mean, I know they do like a lot of the licensed stuff, but you know.
I
don't want to read about Mario. I'd rather play Mario.
Well, my brain instantly goes to, and I know some of y'all remember this, but those Worlds of Power books from when, God, it was probably like the late 80s, early 90s, when they turned like Castlevania 2, Ninja Gaiden, was Contra a book too? I don't remember. No, it was Mega Man. One of the Mega Mans was a book too. They turned a bunch of old like video games from Nintendo like into books, and they were like young adult novels. Like they were the types of things that, like, you know, they were maybe like 100 pages and slightly bigger font, but you know, for an 11-year-old, it was, you know, it was summertime reading for that. I distinctly remember those books. Blaster Master, that was a big one, because the Blaster Master one, even though the books were not really, like, nobody involved with the official games were involved with those books, I think there was something about the people who made Blaster Master actually incorporated something from that book into Blaster Master canon later on. It was kind of a big deal. So, do you remember those? Am I the only one that remembers these?
No, but I do remember something that's kind of random, is I remember that they had some Nintendo scratchers, not like, you know, lottery tickets, but they're for kids, where you play a little game where you had to, like, kind of, it's kind of like a choose your own adventure type thing, but you had to scratch off the little spots, and it would let you know if you, like, got killed or whatever. I don't remember. But I remember they had
some... You were eaten by a Gru.
It was like, I think the original Mario Brothers, not like the new... You know, like Super Mario Bros.
I remember, though. I do remember having those. Yes. They were like little maze cards, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember those.
Yeah.
That was a thing.
I don't know what they were, but like I sort of remember that.
Let's see. Dark Tetsuya says, I remember seeing pictures of the scratch cards. And also Metal Gear had a book, I think, in that series. Yes, it did. Metal Gear absolutely had a book. And it wasn't bad. At least my 11-year-old self thought it wasn't bad. Now, if I probably went back and read it now, I'd probably be like, this is trash.
I'm going to go looking for it.
I want to say that the complete text is available online. Like,
oh yeah, the PDF is out there. But hold on, there's actually a Metal Gear Solid novel.
Not Metal Gear Solid.
I know. I'm looking for the old book,
Worlds of Power. I'm almost positive it was called that. It was like Blaster Master was one. Anyway. Kaijudo in chat says, I'm going to start a new trend on Twitch with those sticker books. It's going to be called Let's Read. I actually have a friend who does a lot of that on his channel. Not the
Holy shit,
books.
They went $43 for this.
For those books?
for the Metal Gear one.
Dang.
July 1st, 1990.
It wasn't that good.
There's the Blaster Master book. There's a Ninja Gaiden book.
Yep, I remember.
I'm just
these.
Looking at the list of them.
I had them all. You could get them at the grocery store. Like, it was this. It was the same people that did the steamy romance novels. It's just that, you know, it was like a young adult thing.
Did I actually more want the Ninja Gaiden?
Do you remember
one?
When the grocery stores would sell steamy romance novels?
They still do.
Do they still do?
Yeah, they're just over in the like magazine section. See, the magazine section isn't like prominent anymore. It's like hidden away with like because who buys magazines?
Okay, so I can get the Ninja Gaiden one for $5.94.
But yeah, they still have trashy novels. That's all that's there. Trashy novels and like magazines that no one's
reading. I didn't think trashy novels were like still a thing.
Oh God, they are. Yeah.
Okay. Well, how do you know all this?
Good condition.
I know because I look at those. I'm like, those are dumb. Who would buy that? And then I look at the magazines. Those are also dumb. Who would buy those? And then I go purchase like what else is on that aisle? It's like
Mentos. It's always like candy.
No, it's not candy. It's like it's cleaning supplies. Like it's. I need to go get some. Dishwasher
like,
pods.
Okay, like if I'm at Rite Aid or something, there's always like the like OK magazine and like all the ridiculous shit. Like I don't know who is buying like Inquirer and Weekly. I don't even think Weekly World News is around anymore, but other stuff like it.
Oh, I love Weekly World News.
Like this, just like the complete. It's always like some horrible picture of Hillary Clinton, and it's like Killary did this week. You know, it's like totally like all these like just straight up like made up shit that's like on these magazines, or you know. Cher given 6 months to live, and like this really horrible picture of Cher or something like that. Like I'm like, who buys this garbage?
So VG Museum that hosts the Castlevania Dungeon has the Simon's Quest book as PDF.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry, as a Word version of plain text.
Interesting. Yeah. I wouldn't think that's legal, but maybe after so many years, maybe it's public domain at some point. No.
Well, I'm saving it because I'm going to read it.
Yeah, literary stuff shouldn't go into the public domain after just 30 years. I mean, it's not even quite been 30 years, so it's probably illegal, but they're probably just not selling those books anymore, so no harm, no foul, I suppose. I'm sure they stopped selling those a long time ago. Well, anyway, if you want to get some new books, you'll be able to get Random House doing some Nintendo books in the near future. You know, it does kind of make sense, though, before we go to the next story. It does kind of make sense because Nintendo's kind of like ramping up with this whole, you know, we thought they were never going to let the rights away to make a movie again. Well, they're going to be making a movie. They're going to be doing this theme park stuff that's, you know, coming to Universal Studios. So maybe Nintendo is kind of learning to let go of some of the licensing a little bit and not keeping it so close to their chest, realizing that they're not going to do it all. So they might as well let somebody do it that, you know, puts Mario. I mean, Mario is like fucking Mickey Mouse at this point, right? Like everybody knows who fucking Mario is. Anyway, moving on. Some more stories. Dark Sakura. You'll have to tear yourself away from your new book to read this story.
I just linked it in the chat room. At any rate, though, we had talked before a few weeks ago about the World Video Game Hall of Fame. They had their nominees. Well, now they have decided which ones are going to be the final four, as it is. It's going to be John Madden Football, Tomb Raider, Final Fantasy VII, and Space War. And these are, of course, were all selected from a player's choice ballot and then an advisory board. So, you know, to be accepted, they have to be iconic and have stood the test of time and must have worldwide appeal. So I guess I could see John Madden Football. I mean, the original John Madden Football. Yeah. Tomb Raider. Yeah, I'd give it that, too. It is franchise spawning, you know, and is still going today. Final Fantasy VII. Got the fan following, still a decent game, and Sephiroth's hair. And Space War, pretty classic. So, of course, you know, if you know, you might not have played it if you were not around in 1962. I don't know.
I cannot say that I was around in 1962 to play that game.
Although, actually, it was the original one that was the 1962, but it did go... You know, and spread as it went through. And then Computer Space was the first mass market version as distributed by Nolan Bushnell. So there you go.
All right. Very cool. Do you think the right selections were made?
Yeah.
I remember talking about this before when the nominees were out, and because DDR was on the list of nominees, and I was like, I don't think that one's going to get picked. It's not the year. Now's not the time. Now is not your year, DDR.
I mean, there's logic behind him, and I'm glad that, you know, something that was more of a pioneering game like Space War was included this time.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Makes sense. All right, let's move on. Loki.
So this week they had a new trailer for Red Dead Redemption 2, and along with that, there's some press outlets that have been kind of talking about the game since they got a 45-minute demo of Red Dead Redemption 2 at Rockstar North. So they were talking about some of what they saw, because I guess they wasn't playable, but they got to watch through. So with it, I guess the game is going to have the honor system returning back from the original game, so depending on how you interact with people in the game, it will affect on how other people will, you know, see you, whether you're evil or good and that type of stuff. They talked about how there's, you know, different ways you can handle situations. So like one instance, they're saying how there was a fishing camp that you can loot and then the fishermen catch you. And so you can either, you know, give everything back, you can threaten them, or you can kill them. And those are your kind of options there. They said that, you know, the game, of course, they're saying that they're not trying to outdo them, any other company, or like when you, since there's a lot of different open world games now, like Zelda and, Assassin's Creed, Far Cry 5 and that type of stuff. So they're basically going to try to outdo themselves, which is great, 'cause I consider, you know, Rockstar Games one of the best open world game companies out there. And then one thing they did not show, though, was multiplayer. So I guess we're going to have to wait for E3 to see some of that. But they did announce during the trailer when the game's scheduled to come out, which is October 26th on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. No word on PC yet, which is kind of disappointing. I would love it on PC. But usually with the last few games, PC comes later. So we'll just have to wait.
Yeah, because aren't they like worried about rampant piracy on PC and all that stuff?
I don't know if that's really a case. I mean, sure, I guess, but like, I think they don't really necessarily care anymore, because a lot of that's not necessarily made on the game sales anymore. It's made on all the online currency, so I don't really think that it's such an issue anymore.
So, do you think that maybe they should just make Red Dead free?
No, it's definitely worth money. It, and unlike, you know, some games that just have the online component, I mean, it is a solid single-player campaign, so I would definitely say it's worth the $60 at least. I mean, the original game was fantastic, so I have no doubts that it's going to be a great game.
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase BANKER.
Yeah, even I'm curious to check it out, but you know how it goes. It's like,
yes,
it's 60
I know.
Bucks.
How and much time?
Diablo, click.
How much time you played Grand Theft Auto 4 or 5?
Why am I being attacked?
Well, you brought it up.
Dungeon Buster in our chat at live.vognetwork.com says, the poster for Red Dead Redemption 2 makes the main character look a bit like Charles Bronson. I would play an open world Western as Charles Bronson. A little old school.
It's not Bronson, but remember they tried to do what was it? It was a Dirty Harry game, but that never ended up happening. I remember that was like E3 2006 or something like that.
Mm. All right. Well, moving on to patent court, patent trolls. Well, not really. I don't know if you would call this a troll, though. I mean, we have stories on the show all the time about trolls, but this one is going to be kind of
a reach, maybe.
It's a little bit open to interpretation, I think. So let's talk about this one, because Nintendo is apparently being sued or taken to court by GameVice. This is a company that made the WikiPad and some Snap-on controllers for mobile devices. So you know how, like, there's no official controller for, like, Apple phones or for Android. You know, there's no official controller. So these are folks that make little devices that kind of, like, cling to your phone and become controllers that basically will, you know, work with games and stuff. So basically they say that the Nintendo Switch violates the patents on attachable handheld game pads and the related accessories. GameVice is requesting a cease and desist order against Nintendo, meaning the Switch would be halted for its imports into the U.S. Nintendo has declined to comment on the investigation, and we'll see what GameVice has to say soon.
It's going to get thrown out.
It should be noted, GameVice sued Nintendo already in August for violating the WikiPad patents. It dropped it in October. So
it's going to get thrown out.
You think so?
I think so.
Well, and here's the thing is that, you know, usually we say troll because usually these are coming from companies that aren't actively using patents. Like they're just sitting on these, you know, things they've acquired that just sit in a storage thing somewhere. Whereas now, okay, at least you can say this company, GameVice, they've been making things that, you know, snap onto devices. But does the Switch really infringe on that? That's the question.
I don't think so.
I think one thing that the Switch does, too, you have to remember, is that those devices, they latch on to multiple things, too. Wouldn't that be kind of a big, like, that's a big difference, because you can take those things, you can use them individually, which is another kind of distinction, is that they're not, like, you know, you can use them individually, and that's one way. You can put them on the dog ears, that's another way, or you can put them on the tablet, and that's another way. So they're not used for one function, they're used for multiple functions, and being on the tablet is just one of them. But then again, yes. I'm not going to claim to be a lawyer when it comes to patents, so I don't fucking know. But it just seems like this is different enough to me.
And they're not the only company that's had... I mean, I'm sure that... I think Nintendo has, like, you know, copyrights or trademarks or whatever on certain, like, aspects of their controller anyway. So, like...
That's true.
It's like, you want to play that kind of... You want to play that type of game? I'm sure they could sue you over some, you know, sort of patent issue or whatever. But
Is GameVice still making these things? I don't even know. I mean... The problem with the third-party controllers for phones is that since there is no standard, a lot of them are garbage because they only work with certain games.
It does look like garbage, too.
And the other big difference is that the Switch is an integral part of the function of the device, whereas this is a peripheral. The Nintendo system is a flat-out system.
That's a good point.
I'm wondering also, too, being that each controller, each half can be used as its own controller, if that's also different enough as well. It would be interesting to see. I don't know. I think they can... I mean, sure, you can try. Just don't think they're going to win.
Well, we'll see what happens. Maybe they'll be trying to settle out of court or something. ASCII in our chat at live.vognetwork.com says, another company trying to get rich quick. They were never going to do anything with their old technology anyway. Well, to be fair, they have put out these, you know, unlike other patent trolls we see, they have put out a device, you know, that works for cell phones. I don't know if it's sold very well. I mean, I haven't heard of it before, so maybe they need to recoup some of those costs. I don't know. But that is why I was a little hesitant to flat out call it a troll, because when it's trolls, like, these companies, just they make their income off of suing people.
Yeah.
This company, you know, you could argue, well...
They're trying to supplement their income by suing.
Yes, exactly. Perfect. SJ100 Matt does point out they do have a legit website. Their products are sold in mass chains. So this is a little different, Sia Tiberi in chat says, didn't Apple basically get patents on home button and multi-touch functionality at some point? And then eventually it was, oh yeah, no, that's too vague to actually enforce. The trademark copyright stuff in this country is so, like...
It's messed
up. It doesn't work. You're taking rules that were written... before technology, because
it's allegedly violations of the Tariff Act of 1930. Because 1930 knew what the fucking internet or like video games and all that stuff was.
Plus, I think that there's been subsequent cases since then that have shown that certain aspects of those prior laws are now considered irrelevant and completely have no basis in modern society.
And plus, as travel gets faster, as the internet makes the world more and more global, I mean, we've seen where, like, other countries will just straight up rip shit off and there's no price to pay because they're not in the U.S. So that further complicates
things. Looking at you, China.
Well, yeah. I mean, but interestingly enough about China, you know, there has been talk about, you know, not that I really want to get into politics discussion here on the show, but there has been talk about China has been kind of called out for this on a political level and has agreed to some extent to work on it. And we'll kind of leave it at that. We don't know what that means, but at least it means something that they kind of acknowledged it. Something. Anyway, that's more than we've had for, you know, years. Anyway, Dr. Tsuya in chat says, I mean, I could almost see where they're coming from, but agree the trademark laws need serious updating and revising. SJ100 Matt says, it's going to take a lot to fix the patent, copyright, trademark laws in this country. It needs to happen, no question. Well, I think one of the right moves that they're making, though, is that, and I think this was a very recent Supreme Court thing, is that they basically said that you can no longer pick and choose where to file these patent lawsuits. You know, like all of these, like a big majority of these patent lawsuits were all being filed in one town in Texas because it had like the friendliest court, you know, if you will, to like some of the rules that the patent trolls try to go by. Well, the Supreme Court has basically shut that down and said, no, you have to file in a place where you do business, basically. And that makes logical sense. I can't see that being a Republican or Democrat issue. I mean, I don't know. I haven't read really that far into it, but I can't see where that is controversial to say you need to file it in a place where you exist. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that's a good first step. So we just need more stuff like that. Anyway, let's move on. Before I get too far into politics, let's talk about gaming politics, Dark Sakura.
Oh, you know I get fired up on that. But, you know, if we had been talking about, this isn't really political. It's more of a reaction, I think, to the politics. But Destiny 2 is doing something to revamp the loot box system by coming out with something called a Prismatic Matrix. So the way it'll work is that you'll get 10 Eververse items from Season 3 each week that it's active, but they also will knock out things that you've already received so that you get something unique every time. And if you activate one every, 10 times, you will get every item. So you can earn those things too. You can pay for them with in-game currency. So, but it will also, previous activations will also knock things off of the rewards list so that you're guaranteed to get something different each time. So seems like it's an improvement. The whole catch though with this is that
there's still loot boxes,
right? You get one a week. So if you want more, it's 200 silvers, which is $2. So you can get more if you feel like paying for it, but
right.
You got to pay for it, or you could be patient. Patience. Have some.
All right. Let's move on. We're just a couple more stories away from our classic game of the week. But first, Loki.
Yeah. So unfortunately, not some great news, but one very popular YouTube personality, John Total Biscuit Bane, he came out. He's been fighting bowel cancer for several years now. And so he posted something, or I should say his PR had posted something on his official Reddit talking about his current situation. So I'm just going to read some of this real quick because it kind of sums up the whole problem. So when I went to a hospital a week or so ago, it was accompanied by the news that a conventional chemotherapy's effectiveness has been exhausted. My body has now become resistant to all forms, according to my oncologist. 46 chemo treatments, 138 days plugged into the pump. Let nobody ever say I wasn't stubborn. Unfortunately, this was followed up by a couple days later with some more bad news. My liver is failing and its effectiveness has lowered past to the point where clinical trials I had been offered would take me on. Yes, apparently there are things that are too dangerous for even the terminal. Obviously, we're going to keep looking for other trials, but I'm currently coming to terms with the fact that I don't have long left. And right now, at any rate, there's literally nothing I can do about it other than trying to manage pain as best as I can, stay hydrated as possible to ease the pressure on my liver. And then with that, he's basically said it's now a case of what do I do with the time I have left? Why am I telling you? Because you're a viewer of my content and this is relevant to you. So what he's basically said he's going to do, he's going to stop doing the Games Critic bit. He's going to keep doing his co-optional podcast and just basically hoping that, after – it's just a matter of time. He's basically – he knows he's going to die and it's just about, being comfortable and, spending time with family and everything. He's hoping that his wife takes over with the channel and everything once he's done, but he's trying to provide for them at the same time. It's unfortunate. I mean,
fuck cancer.
He's been very prominent in the whole, gaming industry, and it's sad to see that that this has happened. Because at one point, it had gone into remission, and he was doing better, but it just came back.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't always seen eye to eye on some of his opinions, but some of them I have agreed with, and now's not really the time for that sort of debate. Cancer fucking sucks, and I hope I hope he can be as comfortable as possible and get everything that can, you know, be done off that bucket list that he wants to do. I have such respect for the fact that he does want to keep doing that podcast right up to the very end, because I would like to think, heaven forbid, I would probably be the same way, that you would wheel me in here on Sunday nights if you had to.
Yeah.
And that, you know, hopefully Alan or somebody would just be, you know, the one to push the buttons and all that stuff, or one of you guys, I don't know. But I would like to think that I could be that, I don't know the word I'm looking for. I could be that dedicated, I guess, in the face of something so scary, you know. So, you know, props to him, and yeah, our thoughts with him and the folks that are going to keep it going over there. So, and yeah, some nice hearty fuck cancer. Cancer sucks. Yeah, pretty much. You know, I think it's a somber reminder of, you know, that. Not to make this about me, but I guess I'm going to. But you all remember, I'm coming up on 10 years. So 10 years ago, remember when I was like really sick and I had that scare with pancreatic cancer, but it turns out it was pancreatitis?
It's what my granny died of.
And it's some scary shit, you know? And so 10 years ago, you know, I used to be very much that person that was like, oh my God, when I'm turned 30, it's over. I'm gonna die single and alone because I'm turning 30.
Well, there's like even, you know, all sorts of things. Like, for example, there is this woman that posts, she does a lot of YouTube videos as well, and she posts a lot on shitty robots, which is, she makes a bunch of shitty robots because that's what she does. Mm-hmm. She said she had like a swollen eye for like a few months, and it ends up, it's a brain tumor.
Oh my God.
Thankfully, it's not cancerous, but it's still a brain tumor.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you know, get your shit checked out. I mean, like, you never know. And that's kind of the thing, too, is like, that was one of the things that John would like to, you know, kind of emphasize out there, is like, get your shit checked out. You know, go see a doctor.
Well, one of the YouTubers I was following for a while, Haven Games, who did the World of Warcraft, you know, how to get outside the bounds and everything, which is, you know, one of my favorite things to do. Mm-hmm. He died at 26 of epithelial sarcoma.
Yeah.
So,
I didn't really get to finish my thought. Sorry. But just, no, it's fine. We all have stories. But just, you know, to hear that I had a condition that did not have a 100% survival rate was very much like a very like sobering moment. And it like, it changed my perspective on a lot of things, because from that point on, it was like, I get to be 30. Like, yay, I'm going to be 30. And you know what? I met Alan when I was 31 and things have turned out okay. And now I'm looking at 40 in the face. And even though there's still kind of that part of me that's like, you know, here comes 40. There's still that. But come on. You had to have experienced some of this too. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Mm.
Yeah, but it's not like I'm walking around every day going, I'm going to be 40. Eh. But I'm kind of, you know, there are some of those thoughts where it's like, oh, 40.
I don't feel so bad about it because I keep getting carded.
Shouldn't I have a bigger savings account if I'm going to be 40? It's those types of things. But I'm like, I'm trying to be like, you know what? Like, cool. Like, I'm going to be 40, but I don't feel 40. And that's cool. Like, I don't want to be all the like 40 is the new 20, or like Molly Shannon on Saturday Night Live when she's playing that one character going, and I'm 50.
Yeah.
But that's kind of how I feel. I'm like, okay, cool, 40.
And don't even wait until like you're, you know, our age to start checking. I mean, John Bain's 33.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
yeah,
it can just speak with, you know, I mean, check. Don't
talk,
let.
Talk to your doctor. Check your balls. Check your titties. Like, you know.
Well,
Don't be afraid of weird things.
Get your vaccines.
Yeah, get your vaccines, yeah, all that stuff.
Well, I mean, is one thing with all the health issues that members of my family have had, that was why I've been so adamant about blood tests and making sure I take care of myself and doing all these things. It is never too early to start preparing for the inevitable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Get a 401k if your work offers one.
I had a discussion recently with somebody about like what would happen and the role I would play if this person should pass away unexpectedly. And it was, you know, and it's somebody my age. And it was a very kind of like, this is morbid. I don't like talking about it. But at the same time, I was like, this is extremely responsible of you to be thinking of these sorts of things and setting up for, you know, what may happen to a child in these types of scenarios. You know, I'm like, I kind of like, even though I really don't like talking about it, I kind of like greatly respect it sort of thing. So anyway, and then I'm getting yelled at, not yelled at, but I'm getting a dirty eyes from some of our chatters right now in the chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Brad from Geekspin goes, fuck you, Rob, I'm staring at 50, but ends it with a smiley face. So anyways, that's totally serious. Tiger Claw says, Rob Roberts, I'm 45 and I feel fine. You know what? And I'm 39 and I feel just fine too.
And it's not just saying, just because other people are dying of things doesn't mean you're going to be dying of things. But it never hurts to check that stuff out so that if there is an issue, you can catch it early.
And it's also a reminder to like be thankful for the time you do have, you know, and realize that, you know, tomorrow a meteor could hit. Like the dinosaurs got disintegrated. It might suddenly one day it could be you. One day it just might be like, I don't feel so good. And that's it. All right. Anyway,
you know, and that was funny because you just made it.
I know. I'm just thinking of
Dennis Leary now.
Okay. I'm not.
All right.
One day.
Either you get it or you don't.
A man accidentally nudges his poodle off the 30th story and it lands on you and you're dead. Death by poodle.
Anyway. I didn't mean for the show to go that deep, but you know, I think, you know, when we hear
what was that in? It wasn't Pushing Daisies. It was
6 Feet Under.
No, the one where she dies from, a toilet seat hitting her from, it was either an airplane or like space or something.
Dead Like Me.
Dead Like Me. Yes.
Yes. Oh, that show was so good. Oh, that show was so good. That was the very first episode, wasn't
it?
Yes,
that's
it was.
That's how she dies.
All right. Anyway, a gold star for Sia Tiberi, who called it out. It was and clarifying, it was a toilet seat from Mirror.
Yeah.
All right. Anyhow, let's go on to one more story here. Let's change the tone a little bit and get into a story about Ikaruga. Because guess what, y'all? Ikaruga is confirmed that it is coming out for the Nintendo Switch. I know.
But where's Radiant Silver Gun?
We've had some rumors. We've had some scuttlebutt when it comes to things like Ikaruga, but it is confirmed. It is coming out actually a little sooner rather than later. It's coming out May 29th. So that's pretty exciting. Ikaruga is coming out on the Switch. And let's see, my original site for all the details wasn't working. So I want to get
It's got vertical mode.
Thank you. I wanted to confirm that because I thought I had read that they were going to do vertical mode in it. So that is confirmed. Vertical mode is happening. Right?
Yep.
Yay. That's a great thing. Why?
You know,
shooters need that.
I have like a dock though, like for the Switch. I wonder if that will actually hold it in vertical mode.
I don't think so. I mean, you wouldn't want to play on your... I mean, if it docks, then you wouldn't want to play on your TV.
Well, no. It's just a holder. Like, it's meant... Because my son was using it, and he wanted to charge it at the same time, and you can't...
It
might go either way. The kickstand sucks ass, so you can't, you know, use that.
It might go either way. But anyway, this is obviously not the first time they've released Ikaruga, but I think it's been a little while. Like, I know there was the Xbox 360 version. I know it's been a little while since they've released it, so...
I just want a Radiant Silver Gun release that I don't have to pay $250 for.
Well, maybe if this does well, Treasure will consider doing more.
Treasure never does it, and this game has done well.
Can we get an Ikaruga 2?
Electric Boogaloo?
Sure.
Sure. I don't know. Again, it's probably one of those things where it's like, maybe if it sells well, they'll go back to the drawing board. But then again, you're right. It's like they always release Ikaruga and it always sells well and they never do a new one. So maybe they're just going to milk the classics for all it's worth, which we're going to talk about SNK later in the show, by the way.
I was going to say, that's a Nintendo way.
At least Nintendo makes some really good new games. Come on. All right. Let's talk about some really good old games. Oops. Oh my God, I played the wrong theme song.
And we're not talking about games anyway.
All right. That's right. So that was a false start because we're really going to get into the classic peripheral of the month. Once a month, Dark Sock dives into the gaming vault and says, hey, you know what? Sometimes it's not about the game you play, but how you're playing it.
Sometimes you need a controller that's as big as your fucking head.
So it's the classic... Ooh, is it Steel Battalion?
No.
Damn. That was a good guess, though, wasn't it?
Mm.
All right. Here it is, the classic peripheral of the month. Dark Sakura, what'd you pick for us?
It's the XE1 AP.
I have never heard of this.
You haven't? Really?
No, I haven't.
It looks like a Metroid.
Kind of, it does. So I just picked Musha Music in the background because it's a Genesis controller. Well, it's for anything on the that era of Sega systems.
Is this like the type of game you'd play with it?
Well, just the first time I heard of it, it was while they were playing Musha. So I picked Musha music. I should probably do Musha as a classic game at some point if I haven't already. Someone tell me if I've done Musha or something yet. Anyway, it's by a company called Dempa. And it was created for the Sega Mega Drive because this only came out in Japan. It's also compatible with the Sega CD and the 32X. It also works on some of the Japanese computers out there. It only came out in Japan, and it was released in 1989 with full analog capability before, probably almost a decade before analog itself became mainstream. So it retailed for... Well, actually, at its first release, it was 13,800 yen. The re-release was 9,800 yen. If you were to look on eBay right now, you would probably not find one of these for less than $250. Just saying. It has 10 buttons on it, including 6 buttons and 4 switches. 4 shoulder buttons. It was also one of the first, I would say, major controllers that featured multiple shoulder buttons. It had an analog thumbstick and an analog slider that you could also rotate the slider so it could go back and forth. So it could technically become a throttle or another analog axis. The buttons, that 4 of those 10 buttons were switches. They will work with computers for controller for changing some of the controller support. There were turbo switches, some that just weren't needed. And a switch to put the controller into a digital mode that allowed it to be compatible with all the games on each systems, except for ones that don't support joysticks. It also was meant to try to simulate some of the controls for games like Afterburner 2 that ran on the Sega, is it Sega 10 or Sega X board? And then, like I said, it was re-released in 1994. It is compatible with a good number of games, but on the Mega Drive, it's best released for Afterburner 2, Ayrton Senna's Super Monaco GP2, Fastest 1, Galaxy Force 2, and Musha Aleste Full Metal Fighter Eleanor. Mega CD would be Afterburner 3, Night Striker, and Starblade. And 32X Afterburner Complete and Space Harrier.
Which, by the way, the chat is confirming. You did Musha in episode 621.
See, I'm sure I did it at some point.
You wiki people are amazing.
I probably did Truxton too at some point, you know.
Yeah.
And Robo Aleste and some of the other fucking games. But anyway, it also, the whole point of it having an analog thumbstick, it actually predated the Nintendo 64 by about 6 years. So, I mean, just coming to think about what a phenomenal piece of hardware peripheral this was, you know, and it actually seems to, in some cases, been the inspiration for the Saturn 3D control pad, which, of course, then turned into the 3D control pad being the basis for the Dreamcast controller, which then was the inspiration for the Xbox controller, blah, 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 etc., etc., etc. This thing is fucking huge, though. It is, like, I'll try to find it for the chat room, but it's probably, the circular aspect of it is probably another centimeter to 2 centimeters larger in diameter than the Sega Saturn's 3D control stick. So, and it's supposed to be pretty heavy. I would love to get my hands on one. Dan said he had a chance, like, 20 years ago to get his hands on one and passed it up and regrets it. So someone finds me one for $100, we'll talk. But yeah.
All right. There it is, your classic peripheral of the month.
The XE1AP by Dempa.
All right. But you don't have one.
Sadly, I do not. I am not so fortunate.
A little cost prohibitive, it sounds like.
Yeah, they ain't cheap.
Yeah. SG100 Matt saying, I'm looking at this and I've never seen or heard of this before. It looks ridiculous. Well, Dark Soccer is here to educate you on all the ridiculous things.
It is pretty ridiculous, but the shit that it does.
I would like to see a size comparison with that and the Duke.
Original Xbox controller?
I found a picture of it with a 6-button Mega Drive controller, so I'll post that in the chat.
It does look kind of cool, though. Like, I can see why you picked it. It's like, super unique. You know what I mean? Like, you don't... Like, even if you were to compare it to the Duke or whatever, like, it's just... The way it is very unique. So, I like it. All right. Anyhow, we're going to take a break. But when we come back, there's plenty more of Orange Lounge Radio to come. So, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back. So, stay tuned, y'all. Welcome back, everybody, to Orange Lounge Radio Live Tonight, episode number 729, already in progress for this May the 6th of 2018. I hope everybody had a good May the 4th and a fun Cinco de Mayo as well, even though I understand we kind of blow that holiday a little bit out of proportion here in the U.S., but, you know, hopefully you still had a good day. And certainly the Star Wars thing is because it's like I'm hearing that more and more often every year. We actually did a little thing at my work this year around May the 4th. I thought it was really cute. We got to wear like Star Wars shirts to work, which usually you don't get to wear a T-shirt to work. So it was like kind of, you know, fun stuff.
Yeah.
So, and then in chat, they're saying Revenge of the 5th. Yes, I've heard of that too. Revenge of the 6th. I've heard it that way too. But
I don't like the whole like cultural insensitivity aspect of it.
Of what?
Of the Cinco de Mayo thing.
Oh, of Cinco de Mayo.
Going back to
itself?
That. Uh-huh. But there was a guy who had a giant taco on his head, and it was so extra. I loved it.
Yeah, I mean, if you're gonna go extra, be committed to your
art.
And
he wore like a Hawaiian style shirt, except mm-hmm. it was tacos and burritos. Mm-hmm. I kind of want a dress made out of that.
That's, you know, whatever.
I've been looking for fabric that's tacos and burritos to make a dress like that.
Act Deft in chat says, I really don't mind Cinco de Mayo at all. You know, we'd kind of talked about that before. Remember how there was a lot of outrage on the tumblers of the net and so forth about the Mario in the, you know, mariachi type of costume? And it was like, you know, is that appropriating Mexican culture? But you talk to most Mexicans and they're like, it's cool. Like, you know, put it
your costume DLC is not my culture.
So. It really is, though, an American phenomenon. This yeah. whole thing that everything is appropriation. Mm-hmm. I'm a firm believer that you can have cultural appreciation. Mm-hmm. Appropriation comes in when you start making money off of the disenfranchised population.
Right. Right.
So just know the difference.
I think a lot of it's social media too. Like it's just so easy to call out on social media, and that's why I just don't like to get involved. I still like to go back to karma at the end of the day, and like don't call out unless you're ready to get called out. So. Anyway, SG100 Matt in chat says, I'm a big Star Wars fan as much as the next, but I'm a little bah humbug on the May the 4th stuff. It just feels so forced. Was that a pun? But whatever, if you want to have fun with Star Wars that day, then go for it. Tiger Claw in chat says, when will there be a Marvel day? You get Marvel movies like four times a year now.
There was like Superhero Day not that long ago.
That's right. Anyway, okay, let's move on, you guys. Let's get back into some video games and what's going on rapidly with some rapid-fire news. Loki.
All right. So you may remember Valve's been adding different controller support to Steam. So now one of the controllers that's also available for Steam use is the Switch Pro Controller. So you can actually select that in your controller settings, and I guess you'll see screen prompts that match the Switch. So that's pretty cool. You can even kind of adjust what those are and stuff. But I like how it actually maps everything to the correct buttons. And then, along with this is kind of a cool little free game as well. I believe it's free. So you may remember there was a game not too long ago called Surgeon Simulator, which was kind of this physics-based, hard to control game that you had to perform surgery in quotes, of course. Well, now there's a new game that's come out based on the London Dare 41 theme, and it's by I guess the developer Swav Gav. At least that's the page. So Swav. swav-gav.itch.io, and the game's called Check Please. Basically, you're supposed to be going on a date, and so you have to do date-like things, but you have to use your hands are controlled with the mouse. So you use the mouse to move your hand, left click to hold and grab items, and then right to rotate the hand. So very similar to kind of like the whole Surgeon Simulator thing. But it's fun, and it is free, so go check it out. It looks very silly.
All right. Some comments in chat on the things Loki was talking about, going back to the Switch controller on Steam, which I'm a fan of that. You know, I'm a fan of more stuff in my house being able to be used on more things. I'm all for that.
Well, it's great, like, especially when you have, like, Steam games, like, oh, hey, I got to do a multiplayer game. Like, I only have two PlayStation 4 controllers or one Xbox 360 controller. It's like, I want to do four players on, like, a game on my PC, plug it into my TV, and then just... Yeah. Hey, I've got all these controllers that work with it now.
Okay, I like that. That's a good thought. But over in chat at live.vognetwork.com, Dark Tetsuya says, when will Steam add support for the XE1? He says he's half joking, but I'm sure something on Steam could support it. You never know.
I'm sure that with the right peripheral to be able to plug in Sega Mega Drive?
Mega Drive, Sega CD, and 32X.
So with the right peripheral, we'll be able to, port that to USB. I'm sure JoyToKey, you can make anything possible.
That's right. Kaijudo, talking about the game that you were mentioning there, Loki. Kaijudo wants to know, is this a jack-off game?
No.
Well, Kaijudo, anything can be if you really want it to
be. It's not a jack-off game. It is you're having a fine, you're having a date in a restaurant, and you have to, feed your date meatballs and like pay the check and stuff like that, and it's really goofy.
So you
because
feed
it's
your
all,
date the balls.
You shove the sweaty balls in.
Sia Tabiri mentions the jack off box party pack. All right, you guys
I'm
are
sure
so mature.
They have plenty of those games on Steam.
You guys are so fucking mature. All right, let's talk about Minecraft. How about you guys get your minds out of the gutter? We talk about a kids' game called Minecraft. Minecraft is getting another patch. It's called the Aquatic Update, the Life Aquatic in Minecraft. It's actually going to be the final update for the last-gen versions of the game. So if you're still playing on 360, PlayStation Vita is considered last-gen, Wii U last-gen, these things are so last-gen, and only apparently 5% of Minecraft players are even playing on these systems. So guess what? This is it. The Aquatic Update is it. Microsoft will be focusing their efforts on improving the versions of the game where more players are active. So this, of course, would be the PlayStation 4 version as well as the hybrid Minecraft version that's on Switch, Windows 10, all the other places, basically.
Yes.
So... the patch, not yet available on Switch, but I guess Microsoft still is going to be doing the Better Together update for that platform. I guess that's not all quite there yet.
Yeah, so once they have that, I guess they're going to do both of those.
Yes, and so then it will be updated with the Aquatic stuff. I don't see a date for Aquatic, though.
Will it be the Life Aquatic?
I just said that.
I think it's maybe. Soon. I thought it was, honestly, I thought it was already out.
It might already be out. It might have just already signed out.
Let's see. Let's see if we can find out when that is here.
Apparently, this is coming to
Will
Java
it have Aquaria
too.
In it?
So,
The Java edition usually gets everything as well. It's just that those are separate kind of ecosystems now.
Which is funny because Kaijudo says, when are they going to stop? Or are they still updating the Java? So, yeah, they
yeah,
are doing
they are,
the Java.
They are. It's just because now they have like the console version, which is basically Windows 10 and everything else. And then they have the Java version, which is separate. Doesn't say... when that's going to be updated yet.
I want my 4K patch and all that stuff. I want to play my blocky game in 4K. Good old games. Hey, good old games is going to be giving away the Witcher Enhanced Edition if you sign up for the newsletter. So that's all you got to do. You got to sell your email address to them. So sign up for the newsletter by creating a GOG account and doing this whole link thing, and then you get the Witcher Enhanced Edition. Please note, this is not The Witcher 3. It's the original Witcher game, but it's still an updated version of that game. And, if you want the background story and all that, it's a free game. And I know some of you, Raginator, love your free games. So there's a way to get that. So, check that out. The dialogue in this game was rewritten, re-recorded. The inventory was changed. So it's, it's still a little dated by today's standards, but it's free. It's fucking free, so don't complain about it. Also, you get a Gwent card keg with this, which is, if I'm not mistaken, like The Witcher to Hearthstone sort of thing, right? Like, it's their trading card game. So you can also get that. Check that out. Dark Sakura.
Well, we all like our Lumines. Mm-hmm. And there is a date for Lumines Remastered. Yay! It's June 26th.
My birthday!
Happy birthday, Rarb!
That's a great birthday present. Even though it was supposed to be out in May, I'll still take, whatever. Take the time to get it right?
And of course, it's on Switch.
Yay!
Also, there is the Neo Geo Mini. I hope it has better emulation than the last attempts to do one of these. But it looks like it's got controllers. It's got the full size controller as well. And just trying to see, scroll through some of these images, but they don't seem to be working. It's supposed to have 40 built-in games, including 5 of the King of the Fighters titles and 3 of the Metal Slug games. And I don't know.
Do they have a... I see one picture that looks like an arcade cabinet. Yeah. That's pretty awesome.
I mean, if it comes with like a mini cab, that'd be even better.
I would think that's going to make the price of that thing go up if it's its own little cabinet. But
again, it also depends on the emulation.
Yeah.
Because the previous ones had some shit emulation.
So that is the actual console. So it says, yeah, the console has it has like a built-in joystick with a 3.5-inch screen. But then it also has output to HDMI and auxiliary video and stuff. So.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Ragenator wants to point out about one of those stories I talked about. I've had The Witcher on GOG for free for ages now. I'm on those freebies. Of course. Well, for those that missed out, here's another chance, I guess. I want to know what that price of the Neo Geo is, though. I'm tempted. It has Fatal Fury Special. That's all I need.
Which I have that on a real Neo Geo.
I know, but I don't. I don't, Jamie. When's my turn?
Do you want to borrow our Neo Geo CD?
Maybe.
And so you can wait with 5 hours of loading time between every stage?
Do some streaming.
Right.
If only you could play Neo Geo games on a certain arcade cabinet that's in this room. Oh, wait. Yes, you can.
Or all these games are on the Switch with the ACA and on the PS4 as well. So probably Xbox One, too. I just don't stay on top of all that stuff. Anyway, let's travel around the world and check out something you can buy a little bit sooner than this Neo Geo Mini. What's coming out this week in the U.S., Loki?
We have Conan Exiles on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Pillars of Eternity 2, Deadfire on Windows, Mac, and Linux. Steins Gate 0 on PC. We have a game called Laser League on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Battle Chasers... I'm sorry. That's actually next week. So, yes, Laser League will be the last thing for the week. That's it. Very short.
All right, let's go to the PlayStation 4 and check out some of the releases there. Although I know that the Golden Week sale is going on PlayStation. So I think in Japan, it's probably going to be a little slower this week. I think it's why we've seen some releases slowing down. In fact, actually, as I look at the PlayStation 4 releases in Japan this week, the next big release that I see is Caligula Overdose on the 17th. So I think this week is probably going to be a little more quiet. In fact, as I'm looking at the Switch releases, there's really nothing of note there either. So I think things are pretty quiet in Japan this week with the various holidays. Nothing on the 3DS either. So it's just a little slow right now. So we'll head on over to Europe, Dark Sakura.
We have only a handful of things. On May 8th, we have Pillars of Eternity 2, Deadfire for PC. Conan Exiles on May 8th as well for Xbox and PlayStation. And Super Chariot for Switch on the 11th.
All right. Well, now we can take a trip into our mailbag, and I can play the theme song that I accidentally played earlier.
It was a preview.
Yes, it was a sneak peek. Every week, Dark Sakura dives into the mailbag at participate@orangelawntrader.com and takes a peek at what y'all have to say. Dark Sakura.
I got a very concerning one that says super important bulletin.
Uh-oh.
And it's by YYR.
Uh-oh.
So, here it is. If
Super Multitasking
ready.
Broke sales records, I hope. It's what it deserves.
Tacos are fantastic. Thank you, YYR.
The brand new title of his new game. The sequel to Pixel Shits. Pixel Shits 2. Tacos are fantastic.
Dude, make this happen, please.
I think YYR might be done with making our dream games come true for a while because you guys aren't coming through and making him a billionaire on Steam. What's wrong with y'all? Pick up
Do
multitasking.
It.
It's
I can
great.
Only purchase the game once.
I know.
But you can purchase it as gifts for other people.
I could.
It's true. Gift all your friends. You know why I think YYR sent that email? Because didn't we say on last week's show, like, every listener should send us an email? And what, we got one email?
We have another one from Rachel
well,
here.
Well, that's how many listeners we have,
that's
I guess.
That's right. The number 2 gaming podcast in town. 2 emails. Dark Sakura.
I'll give that a number 1.
It's because we don't have a wall where we write names on. If we had names, and we'd be taking those names. I mean, people have to be there to take the names.
That's right. I'm going to kick ass and take... All right, Jamie, come on. What's the next email?
Hi, all. It's Raginator yet again. I have some good news for you three and for chat. If you care to remember, last week I called in and mentioned that a buddy of mine from high school responded to my venting on my tech woes, dead TV and PC video card, by saying that he offered... Dude, I understand you're excited about the video card, but this has nothing to do with gaming news. Just saying.
Is there a question or anything in it?
I'm going to keep reading.
All right.
He offered to send me his old video card. Well, shipment for me came on Wednesday, and it was no video card. It was a 40-inch 1080p Vizio Smart TV.
Oh, shit.
Seemingly brand spanking new, too. Naturally, I was confused, and I confirmed with him. Apparently, it was no mistake. He and his wife sent it intentionally saying happy birthday or something.
That's a nice friend.
That is a good friend. Anyways, regarding the video card, the extra money that I requested for my SSD payee, all $50 of it, finally came on Thursday, and it was deposited Friday. Luckily, I found a video card that I could afford on Amazon, an MSI GeForce GT 710 for $44.95 plus tax. That card, as far as I know, is marginally better than the GeForce GT 610 that came with my PC. I ordered it, and I should have it on Friday. All that being said, I should be back to PC gaming in less than a week. In the meantime, I'm going nuts watching TV and playing games on the 360. I tell you, the picture on this TV is absolutely gorgeous. Any better and my eyes would orgasm.
The anime titties are as big as your face.
This email was brought to you by Kenmore East. Once a bulldog, always a bulldog. What does that mean?
There's no question?
No. It's like, I'm glad for you.
Yeah, no, it's a rad present.
Enjoy
your jumbo anime titties.
But still, a little relevancy. Relevancy.
It was a follow-up to a call, whatever.
Okay.
That's it?
That's it.
What?
I want a relevant email. Tacos are great, and you've got a great friend, but we want stuff related to what we are talking about on the show or how awesome I am.
Unless that really was a game announcement from YYR, in which case, you know.
Okay, then I'll take it.
I really
YYR has a pass with the occasional short email because his emails are fucking novels.
And plus, I believe there's like family stuff going on and all that. So YYR wants to take a break from game development. He's fucking earned it. Anyway, let's move on then while we await more emails at participate@orangeloungeradio.com. Send our Sagar an email and tell her what anime titties you like to see on your 50-inch TV.
Speaking of anime titties, I've been like on the fence of purchasing Galgun. I like the first Galgun game. It's ridiculous, yeah. But I thought about purchasing the second one. It's on the Switch, though. That would not be a Switch-appropriate game, unfortunately.
You know, I understand that some games, like, people kind of look at it and go, Jesus Christ, really? Is this really needed? But sometimes, like it's like Darksoccer said about the hat, right? Sometimes, if you're going to go extra, be fucking extra, you know?
Be as extra as you can fucking be.
And that's why I love Bayonetta.
Like, I mean, if Galgun came with like boob attachments for the, you know, D-pad,
you have a pheromone, that would be extra. Gun. You have to shoot your pheromones at them.
And didn't they just re-release? They just re-released it on PS4. Is this week or next? It's like that side scroller with the totally unrealistic, like, cartoon babes with the gigantic titties.
What, the Queen's?
Which
dragons,
one?
Dragons something. Damn.
Oh, I know what you mean.
It was some freaking PlayStation 3 and like Vita or PSP.
No, that
game.
One's actually a really
Dragon's
good.
Crown. Thank you, MXC.
Dragon's Crown's a great game. It's a really like
I know it's a good game, but not very.
It's
it just needs proportionizing. It just needs a little bit of that. Yeah, no, that's I know that's the gag of the season. It's actually a good game. How many references can I drop in 1 minute? All right. Anyway, let's move on to some more news. Loki.
All right. So, apparently, there's... we talked about how there's been hackers with PUBG that have gotten into... Or is it PUBG or Fortnite? One of the two got in the big trouble with creating hacks and stuff. Well, now, apparently, Overwatch hackers are getting arrested and fined as well. So, South Korea has a new law that is targeting hackers. And apparently, with this new law, 13 Overwatch cheaters have been arrested now. And apparently, they're saying that one of the 13 has received 2 years of probation from the government, and if he violates it, he'll see jail time, as well as the others have been fined around 10 million won, which is about $10,000. Will this finally end cheating?
Nope.
Nope.
Please. I'm just surprised you can, like, go to jail and get fined for that, like, well, I mean, of course, when you're, like, fucking with the game, like, that much, like, I kind of get it, but it's, like, I feel like that would never, like, that sort of punishment would never happen here. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I've missed something, but I just feel like there's so many, it's, you're never going to end cheating.
Yeah.
But you can certainly make an example out of people to get caught, and I think that's
apparently
what
the
here.
Law has a maximum fine of $50,000. And a maximum sentence of 5 years in prison.
Wow. Kaijudo in chat says, cheating online, but jail time? Come on now. I'm all for the death penalty when it comes. No, I'm kidding. I'm not. But, I am a little surprised, but at the same time, like, when are people going to fucking stop?
I don't know.
All right. Let's talk about me's. Let's talk about me. But MII would be the thing I want to talk about, which I want to talk about making me characters in a web browser. Apparently, this is something that you're going to be able to do soon, even though Miitomo is, like, there's only so much time left with Miitomo.
The 9th.
Right? That's like Tuesday.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That's kind of sad.
I've been trying to use up all of those tickets I get.
Yeah. But and you're not going to be able to, like, get anything for it, right? You just kind of, like, the whole game's going to get flushed in the toilet, and that's that, right?
As far as I can tell.
That's kind of a bummer that you can't, like, download or archive anything, or there isn't some type of, like,
they should just
Miitomo
let it,
archive.
I don't know.
They should just let it exist, right?
I took pictures of all of my mini characters that I made.
Well, that's good. Get all the screenshots that you can now. Well, I guess what's happening soon is that Mii characters are going to be available for you to actually edit online. The story is not coming up for me for some reason, so I don't know. I don't remember all the details. I did read something about... finally, just as I say that, it pops up on my screen there. Thank you.
As if by magic.
Jesus, it's like complaining works. Excuse me, internet, can I speak to your manager? All right, there it is. Anyway. All right, so here's the thing. So when it comes to Mii's, you can create and edit your Mii characters in a web browser. There's going to be maintenance, though, when Miitomo is terminated. If you link your Nintendo account to Miitomo, you can use the Mii characters from Miitomo on your Nintendo account. So that's something. So you'll be
I've already
to...
linked mine an age ago, so that's
awesome.
Good.
So with the end of the Miitomo service, you can't make things on Miitomo anymore, but they're going to add a feature in late May where you can edit the Mii characters via your web browser of choice, if it'll work, unlike this relic of a computer that I'm using now. So the system migration maintenance will be happening in late May 2018. So during that period, you can't really do anything with your Mii's. But once that's done, you can make Mii's online, and I'm sure people will be sharing all the hilarious creations that they've made within the Mii broadcaster. So there you go. All right, let's move on. Dark Sakura.
Well, there is a series of retail gaming stores in Nebraska called Gamers. And all three of their stores closed as of Thursday, May 3rd. With one of the reasons being that there were employees who yelled at customers and used racial slurs while working. They also listed a lack of good employees and a few things about declining sales and unreasonable landlords. However, the employees themselves have spoken up, said that there was quite another thing going on with them, that basically that the company was only paying minimum wage, that they also offered no benefits, had employees working overtime for no pay, high turnover, terrible management, and even making them go to meetings on their day off with no pay, which is all illegal. So they're apparently still operating as a store, but I guess only online. So that's still pretty crappy. I mean, every single one of those employees under those circumstances should have actually taken it to their state labor board. But people don't think to do stuff like that, and that's why companies like this get away with it. So I don't know. I'm pretty glad that if that really is the truth, that a company so unstable is closing their shop, and I hope that they go out of business or get intensely sued
But there's not really too much else I can say about that.
I don't remember this was... I don't think this is a customer I sold to, but the name sounds familiar, Gamers. Because honestly, the independent game stores, there's not
their
a ton...
Their logo is terrible.
There's not a ton of them out there, so...
Well, honestly enough, I mean, really the big, you know, the big chains are taking it over. But if you know, I'd like to support independent game stores, but I don't support this kind of attitude, you know, so.
That's just bad business all around.
It really is. So, do you have anything more for us?
At least not on that. Anyways, I guess we could talk a little bit about Nintendo. And you know, one of the things we keep wondering with Nintendo is like, so we've got this system, the Switch and stuff. Why do they keep making, you know, 3DS games still? When is the 3DS going to basically be over? And the reason for that, they claim, is because Nintendo is basically going to keep making games for the 3DS until the Switch becomes a one-per-person system. So... You know, with the Switch, I mean, I think that's a nice idea, but the fact that it's a console system, though, you're going to have, you know, multiplayer support on that. It's not like a 3DS. But, you know, they're saying, you know, consumers purchased the 3DS system in numbers we expected last fiscal year, or the numbers we had expected last fiscal year. It had an ample supply of ample software lineup at the price point that makes the system affordable, especially for parents looking to buy for their kids. We expect the demand to continue this fiscal year as well, which is through March 2019, so we will continue to sell the product. Given that Nintendo Switch is a home gaming system that can be taken on the go, this situation may change if it grows from being a one-per-household system to a one-per-person system. Well,
take it out back and fucking shoot it already.
Well, the problem is, though, it's a $300 system. The 3DS was never a $300 system. So it's hard to say, well, you better buy a Switch for each person in the house. Oh, and hey, you want to play those games? Well, you better buy a game for each person. That's the problem. You made a system that's a home console system, and you're shocked that people aren't buying it like a portable system.
Look, this is honestly just a line they're using because they're not planning on sunsetting the 3DS yet. They can't. They've got that Luigi game that's already slated for next year, the Luigi's Mansion remake. So they're not going to say anything about stopping to sell the 3DS for a long time. And honestly, even if they were to say, like, we're going to actively stop making new 3DS games or whatever, which is probably not something they would say. You just probably have to figure it out. Like, they're still going to sell the consoles themselves for at least another probably 2 years after that because... There is, and you know, and I see in chat, you know, that you know, there's still fans of the 3DS. Of course, the 3DS and the DS, which you can play on your 3DS, has such a rich back catalog that, like, of course they're going to sell systems. Like, what if your system breaks and you want a new one and all this other stuff? So, I mean, there's still reasons to get 3DS, but it's more like that active development and using resources on making new big games and stuff. It's like, okay, let it go. We can let it go now. Put them on great Switch games, and maybe you will sell a million Switches.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, they have sold a million Switches, but you know what I mean. That's my figurative million. One for every person or whatever it is. So, Tiger Claw does point out in chat, plus the 3DS fits in your pocket, not the Switch, until Nintendo does a Switch Mini. Well, there will be another version of the Switch. Absolutely. Why wouldn't there be? There's almost always been another version of the console. Like, even the Wii sort of had one where they took the internet out and all that stuff. Remember that?
Yeah, that was a very good version.
Have we had another Wii U?
Well, but the Wii U kind of they wanted to get rid of that pretty quick. But, like, the Nintendo had the top loader. The Super Nintendo had a redo. The Nintendo 64, they kind of did, like, the Pikachu version.
Yeah, 3DS, the DS.
3DS, DS, Game Boy. Those are always going through remakes and stuff. So, I mean, they will do a Switch XL or XS or something to get more people to use them. A Switch in your pocket, if that's what they want. ASCII in chat says, what do you think the recent hack on the Switch will affect the sales of the Switch? Do you think it will become another Dreamcast? Awesome platform, but was flawed by piracy early on. Here's what they're going to do, ASCII, I think, is that maybe you can't stop the old systems and this stuff, but they can put their foot down with the new systems.
I don't think they can. Because it's not the...
Really,
it's, they're going to have to go with a whole other processor if that's the case. Because it's the Tegra chip that is the problem. It's not... So unless NVIDIA has a way around that, I don't think it's going to be. I don't think they're going to change it. Right now, though, there's nothing to say that it's going to be piracy, because the problem was that they don't have access to the keys yet to be able to decode the software. The best they're going to be able to do is like load Homebrew on there.
No. Rama in chat says, "Here's the thing: drop the Switch to $199, and it will be one console per person per household. Until then, viva la 3DS."
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
That's true. I guess that price, but I could see the price maybe coming down.
But I even have a problem though with the games being $60 at that point, because if you're saying that you want it one per person, then you're going to buy one game per person. Mm. I mean, it's just, I don't know.
All right, one more story for you guys before we get to calls, and this has to do with a music game. Why not kind of end the official news segment tonight with news on a music game, and has to do with Harmonix and Rock Band, which, yes, it's still going. And actually, Rock Band is bringing back...
We also talked about RBN.
Hey, be quiet. I didn't say it was autoplay. Shut up.
Normally don't talk about too much, but...
Shut up. Autoplay Twitch thing, don't do that. Anyway, that was part of the live stream where Harmonix was about to announce that the Rock Band Network would be coming back. The Rock Band Network was unveiled about 10 years ago, I think, and it allowed folks to basically put their own tracks into Rock Band, including for sale. I mean, it did have to go through quality review and stuff, but it basically unleashed the Rock Band tools to, you know, smaller bands and indie bands that wanted to be in Rock Band. Now Rock Band Network is going to be coming back for Rock Band 4 on the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One. There never did end up being a Rock Band 4 on PC because that crowdfunding didn't quite work out. However... due to the royalty agreements, your purchases can't move over. So womp womp on that. You will have to start over if you had a lot of the Rock Band Network stuff. Harmonix is prioritizing songs that were the most popular before on Rock Band Network and is also taking requests via an online form. So that's kind of neat that like this thing that they shut down is now coming back. So pretty cool. And Orange Wright in chat says, "Oh, I didn't hear about this. Cool to hear." Yeah, they announced it on Tuesday during a live stream that Harmonix did. So it is happening. I don't know if I caught the when it's happening, but it's something that they're working on. So yeah. Pretty cool. All right, we're going to open up the Skype line right now. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype, or 1-877-GAME-OLR if you want to do it the old school way. But I don't remember the last time we got a phone call. I think it's all Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. If you would like to Skype us and talk about anything that maybe we've talked about so far tonight or have yet to talk about. Until then, I don't know if we have any like last-minute stories or other things to bring up, but Loki, any last-minute stories? If you have any discussion, maybe if you don't want to call, but you just have a discussion question or something you want to ask us, go ahead and throw it out in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com.
It's a small mention, but I guess that the Oculus Go, I think, has been released.
Oh, yeah, the whole the Facebook event unveiled this, right? The Oculus without a computer, basically, right?
Yeah, so that's available. The only issue with that is you have to have a phone that you can connect to their store with, which is stupid.
Of course. Well, they want you to buy things.
But if I have a phone, then why would I want the Oculus Go? Because I could just plug in...
Well, why would you get the other... thing, the other Samsung thing that everybody's getting
Gear
for
VR,
free.
Yeah,
that's it, the Gear VR.
Or like the Dream.
We have it? One, and I've used it once. It's kind of a novelty thing. But
I gave mine away like a couple weeks ago.
The experiences just aren't there for that.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, at least with PlayStation VR, you've got quite a few games at this point that exist in there. Same thing with, you know, HTC Vive and Oculus on PC and so forth, so... SSU 100 Matt points out the Gear VR is pretty much the Oculus Go. Yeah.
Yeah.
ASCII in chat points out, "I just bought a cat. That's important, right? Fuck yes. Cats are always important. We love animals.
Cats are always relevant.
Cats are always relevant. I suppose if you're a dog person, I suppose puppies, especially if it's a corgi. If it's a corgi, it's like priority." So, yes. Puppies and kitties are very important. You know what? I would say pretty much any. If you wanted to get a ferret, that is also noteworthy, especially if you're breaking the law and it's illegal in your state. Would you like to call and tell us how you're breaking the law? Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype if you want to give us a call. Anything else to talk about here at the end?
Sadly, no. It's been a slow news week.
It is really slow.
Well, A, you have the holiday week going on in Japan. So, you know, that's shutting a lot of things down right now. B, you have E3 is just around the corner. So, you know, that's something.
It's just also slow, like, as far as releases go, too. It hasn't just... April and May are really slow I mean, actually, anything up until like September is going to be kind of slow. June picked a little
bit. I feel like we usually get one or two big releases around like Memorial Day, so like people can play it.
I don't think anything's really coming out.
Of school.
I mean, they've on Switch. I know they've got the remaster of Hyrule Warriors, which I may end up picking up. I'm not sure yet. That might be fun.
So we're getting some questions in chat over at live.vognetwork.com, which we'll certainly take those.
We could do an Ask Orange Lounge or something.
Well, I'm kind of like an informal Ask Orange Lounge. Yeah. ASCII wants to know, did anyone buy Donkey Kong? And She-Hulk clarifying Donkey Kong for the Switch. Of course, the new
I looked at it, but like I don't want to pay $60 for that game. And it's
I played the Wii U version, and unpopular opinion, I didn't care for it. Like, it just, for me, it didn't really capture the magic of the Super Nintendo Donkey Kong Country games. I don't know if I'm just as big on Donkey Kong as a franchise. Cool for the people that are into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, you know, and maybe I need to give it a second look. You know, maybe, this happens with games sometimes, you guys. Like, the first time I played Mass Effect, I was like, I'm not feeling it. But, you know, after I was... you know, learn some more things about the franchise and how cinematic it was. I went back and played it later, and now the original trilogy is one of my favorite things that's ever been done in gaming. So, you know, I don't want to damn a thing like Donkey Kong forever.
Yeah.
So, anyway, Act Deft in chat points out $60 is worth it. It's good, but I already have the Wii U version. I don't really want to double dip this one. Captain Toad, though, gonna buy that one for sure. I know a lot of people are fans of Captain Toad. Act Def pointing out we have the Octo expansion coming in July, probably, the whole Splatoon thing. Which, by the way, Raphael versus Leonardo happened this weekend. Raphael won. But not based on popularity. If it had been straight a popularity vote, Leonardo would have won.
But Raphael's still better anyway.
But the Raphael players were more skilled at the end of the day, winning more of the battles. So how about that? Even though I didn't play. But I saw all the tweets about it, of course. So, all right. Let's take a call that is coming in. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, what's going on? It's Rama.
Hey, Rama. Good to hear from you. What's up, buddy?
Not much. I just got here from a convention. Our convention season has just kicked off with a bang.
Yeah, that's true. What might be a slow time for video games becomes a really fast time. Like when the movies start coming out, because that's more when people can get weekends away. It sounds like you had a really good time at this convention. I was seeing a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, this is one of the few times where I was actually... relaxed, chill. I just had a good time. I got a little stressed, but thankfully my podcast staff was able to help me push through and get things done. Overall, I was just having a good time.
Good. And what was the name of the con?
Zenkai Con. It's a anime, sci-fi theme convention, mishmash of everything in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Oh, that's not far from where I spent some time in Pennsylvania a few years ago.
Oh, yeah. I remember you mentioning that.
Yeah. So that's cool. I'm glad you had a good time at the convention. And I'm sure people can hear more about it on Anime Jam Session this Tuesday, live at VOG.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. We're all still recovering from it because, I mean, it was just fun from start to finish. You know, we got there early, did a little touristy thing, and then just kind of rested and then just went to the whole nine yards.
Awesome. I look forward to hearing more about it. Anything gaming to bring up here on OLR?
Well, this year they had another convention covering running the game room. So it was mostly console gaming. They had a setup for Rock Band 3 or Rock Band 4. I don't know which one it was. And they also had a PS2 arcade DDR setup, as I like to call it.
Oh, okay, cool. Did they gut an arcade machine and put a PS2 in it? Because I have friends that have a machine like that. Or did they just do a PS2 with the really fancy dance pads?
Yeah, PS2 with two large arcade dance pads that were uncalibrated the whole weekend.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, the staff was told, but evidently nothing was done about it. So I sort of kind of like avoided the game room. Because here's the thing about the game room. If you're going to go, the best time to go is within the first 20 minutes of it opening and in the last 20 minutes of it closing.
Before it smells like funk.
That's putting it lightly.
No, I know. That's exactly how it goes. Or the cool thing is, you know, with MAGFest, it's a 24-hour gaming room, so it's like you kind of go at 3 in the morning. Although, God, even then, it's still it can be pretty crowded on Friday, Saturday night. Dragon Con, I think if you go around 5 or 6 in the morning, Dragon Con, you can pretty much walk up and play what you want.
So that's what I'm going to do for MAGFest next year. I'm just going to do my thing, pass out, wake up around 3:30, 4 o'clock, go downstairs, play some Street Fighter, find some breakfast, and just go about my day.
Yeah. No, I hear you. I hear that. I think that might be my strategy at future cons, is to just go to bed early like the true old man I am, and then get up really early while other people are staying up late.
There you go. There you go.
All right. Well, I'm sorry. I'm reading chat while I'm talking to you. Rama, I don't know if there's anything else you wanted to share, or if that's it.
Oh, that's basically it, because I called in because I was like, well, I figured everybody else would call in, but I think let me jump in, talk to you guys to kind of get things going. Maybe after I get off the phone, more people will start calling in, you know, because I put that challenge out like several years ago, you know.
You never know. Sometimes it's just some weeks are slower than others. It's all good. Is there something on TV tonight? Walking Dead back? I don't know.
American Idol.
Well, nobody's watching that.
I know.
Anyway. All right. Rama, I'm going to let you go, but look forward to Anime Jam Session this week. Take care.
Thank you. Take care, bro.
Bye. All right. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. Otherwise, we might be wrapping things up here pretty soon, and that's okay. You know, again, those weeks rolling up to E3 are going to be a little bit slower. Sadly, none of us going to E3, but I don't know if any of you guys are going. But
I don't know if I'm sad about that.
Well, yeah, I mean, E3's just changed, and it's just not really the same show that it was. Like, what was the first year we all went? Was it 2004? Must be, because this show started 2002. And I feel like, yeah, we went three times, right? All of us went three times before, and that 2006 was the big Wii year, the year that I call the Paris Hilton year. That was where it was, like, out of fucking control. That was our third year going, right? We all went those first 3 years.
Yeah, I went 2000.
Yeah.
The last year I went was 2009 or 10.
I went again a few more times. When they went back to the convention center, I went back. I feel like I was there in 2014 was like the last year I went. It wasn't that long ago. Yeah, I think it was 2014 was the last year I went.
It was 2009.
We did the interactive coverage. If I remember when you could like submit questions and we would try to find the answers for you.
Yeah.
I did that with Bobby 1 year, and I think it was the second year. I think the first year he did it and I went to like pick him up, and I did the Ouya booth because it was outside. You didn't need a badge to get in.
Yeah.
But otherwise, he had to do like everything. Was it the Ouya? I feel like it was Ouya.
Yes, Ouya was outside.
So, but then the problem was, and the reason why we never did the interactive coverage again was that it was like the reason why E3 is not the show it used to be is explained by the fact that the interactive coverage doesn't really work anymore, because nobody wants to answer a question that's off the script. And if you want to see the script, just go watch YouTube or Twitch. It's all right there. And nobody wants to talk about anything that's off script.
Unless it's an indie developer,
which is kind of rare to see. Well, I don't know. Now that some of the bigger names are dropping out.
Do they still have like the indie booth?
Sure. And that was my favorite booth. That was my favorite booth at E3 because those are the people that would talk and let you ask anything you want. But those weren't the questions we were getting because people didn't know about those games.
Yeah.
Which I don't blame the people asking the questions. It didn't work. It's unfortunate. Dark Tetsuya says Kensha Hall. Well, that was the really cool like indie place those first 3 years. But when
that's
it came
where you
back,
see all sorts of weird shit.
Kensha Hall turned into a parking lot later on. I don't even know. Actually, come to think of it, didn't they just remodel the convention center? Like, if you're going to DragCon, Jamie, isn't going to be different? Because it's funny enough, DragCon is at the same place that they're doing E3, right?
Yeah.
They use one of the halls, the West Hall or the North Hall.
I think they expanded into one of the larger ones.
Yeah, so, but the funny thing is, that's the same place where they're going to have E3, and I think they remodeled the convention center, if I'm not mistaken, or at least that was in the cards.
Us.
I know that area around it has changed significantly since our early E3s. You know, now they have the whole LA Live shit. Like, the last year I did go to E3, I was like, wow, there's, like, restaurants down here and fancy hotels and all that good stuff. So, Sia Tiberi says it's in South Hall. Okay, well, South Hall is where they always had Nintendo and all that stuff. Bonds 006 says, how the room booking bad for MAGFest? I had a room booked last September and it was very easy. I think you got lucky, my friend. A lot of people had a lot of problems booking rooms for MAGFest. So, but hopefully this year they'll get that shit sorted out. Although I have to be honest, I'm not sure if I'll go back to MAGFest. Nothing against the con or the people. I certainly enjoy myself, but some of y'all know I switched jobs a couple years ago, and with it, I took a big hit in the amount of time off I get a year. So I have to pick and choose my conventions a little more carefully. That's all. So, all right. Well, you guys, I guess that's probably going to wrap it up for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. If you do want to interact with our host, you can always send us an email, participate@orangeloungeradio.com, or you can send us a tweet @OLR. If you would like to also leave us a nice 5-star review on a place like iTunes, that we'd really appreciate that. Wherever you found this podcast, help us spread the word. We are the show where every gamer has a voice, but we can't air those voices if they're not here. So help us spread the word. We would really appreciate that. You can also join us on Twitter @OLR. We also have a Discord, and you can always chat with us through Discord. We do get some of our stories from Discord, so a big thank you to those on Discord sharing info with us throughout the week. That's vognetwork.com/discord, vognetwork.com/discord. With that, I think we will go around the room and give everybody's final thoughts. I know it's a little bit shorter tonight, but probably just, again, the slower news week. These things are going to happen. So, Loki, final thought for you tonight.
Final thought is my wife keeps texting me that my kids are sick. And
oh, no.
Yes, apparently there's lots of screaming and yelling and sitting on the potty. So
that means you're going to be sick.
I hope not.
All right. My final thought tonight is that Alan went shopping during the show, and he brought back Oreos. So last week we had Cherry Coke Oreos, which weren't bad. I really liked them, but they have Pop Rocks in them, so it was a little weird. But it gives that like kind of carbony, you know, like a beverage, like a carbonated beverage would have.
It was okay.
This week he has brought us Pina Colada, which I guess is a new thing they're doing, and Kettle Corn. And I'm really curious about Kettle Corn, but I feel like it's not going to make a very good Oreo.
I would like to try.
Yeah, we'll do that right after the show. The coconut Oreos are good because they just have regular coconut. So I'm sure pina colada is going to be fine. It's just coconut with pineapple dust or something.
Do you like pina coladas?
Let's put pineapple on the pizza. Anyway, that's my final thought. Dark Soccer, last but not least, your final thought.
I'm disappointed in my chicken strips today, and I think I'm going to go get a taco on the way home.
Tacos.
Like one taco.
All right, that is going to do it for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. Thanks, you guys, so much for tuning in, and we hope you all have a great week. We'll see you in 7 days. At least Loki and I will. Dark Soccer, have a ton of fun at DragonCon. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
DragonCon.
DragonCon.
Yes.
Drag on the con.
It'll drag that
Put
con.
Your drag on and go to the con. All right.
I will.
Forget it. We're out of here. Bye.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or Vog Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.